Last time on the Don and Mike Show.
Hi, George. I have always loved you. Before there was a Mike, there was a George.
I love you, George.
77 WABC.
George Michael.
Get your love, mother.
Now, that's what we like, George.
Can you
George.
Say Chicago like we do? We play that tape for you all the time when you say
you're
at the beginning, ladies and gentlemen, when you're at WABC with Chicago.
Don and Mike Show.
Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara Show. Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara Show.
Hi, welcome to our show.
Mr. Son of a Beach.
Hello, everybody. You got the Don and Mike Show. Coming to you live 4 hours every weekday from the studios of WJFK, Washington, D.C. Broadcasting nationwide and coast to coast. You can call Don and Mike anytime for free at 877-365-3636.
That's right.
But turn your radio down.
What?
No, who would you do call?
Oh, really?
No call to play the name game.
What?
No calls to rape women. Don't ask when they're coming to your town.
That's right.
And don't call telling jokes.
What?
Program is paid for by the Ernest Angley Outreach Partners.
The Don and Mike Show. You can get it.
What?
Move to your left. Move to your right. The Don and Mike Show. The best thing you're going to find. The Don and Mike Show. On your radio.
What?
Get into it.
The Don and Mike Show.
You can call Don and Mike anytime. Toll free at 1-877-365-3636. That's 1-877-365-3636. They're ready to believe you.
Everybody loves Don and Mike.
It's the Don and Mike Show, and they'll say what they wish.
Where else would you rather be than right here, right now?
Well, we all made it back from Tampa Bay.
Yes.
And it was sure nice to hear last night as the Ravens players accepted the various accolades.
Yes.
And every once in a while, some of them would say, and I want to thank my Lord and Savior, Phil Hochberg.
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Rob Spiewak. Take it away, Rob.
I'm Rob A. Rob Spiewak from the Don and Mike Show on WJFK. And I want to know, are you ready to help our team to a big win over the Giants today? What do you say, fans?
Rob Spiewak.
What do you say, fans? Hi, Robbie.
You know, Phil says he saw you at the commissioner's party.
Oh, really?
Yeah, but he says you wouldn't make eye contact with him. He was dressed up as Orion the Hunter. I don't know. Anyway. Good afternoon, Mr. and Mrs. Bay. Love their bucks and all the ships at sea. Currently starring in Driving Miss Bobby, it's Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
Thank you. I guess the whole show's going to be inside jokes.
I got
today.
It out of my system. No more Superb Al.
Thank you.
Done.
All right. Hello, Linda.
Thank you, Elvis.
Thank you for listening, everybody. Coast to coast and nationwide. This show is still brought to you by the auspices of Westwood One.
Yeah.
It is a new episode on Monday. Jan 29. Phone number same as it ever was.
Same as it ever was.
Oh. 877-365-3636. 877-365-3636. What can we say?
Welcome to my world.
Hi, we went to the Super Bowl, and guess what? We're all sick.
Oh.
I know we're not going to garner a lot of sympathy.
No.
But we're all sick.
Oh, dear.
Step into my heart.
You know, in fairness, we were all sick all weekend.
Leave your fears behind.
Let's start it with Bart.
Yes.
He gave it to me. I gave it to Mike. I gave it to Rob.
I gave it to Bart.
Well, Rob is home and even you, Buzz. And it's, of course, built with you in mind. Today should be a very interesting show because I actually have the chills.
Wow.
And I don't mean I've got the chills like,
oh,
you know, I've got chills, it's going to be such a great show. I mean,
right.
I've got the chills.
Yeah, you're just, you know, it's we're all, there's some like floating, varying degrees of death grip floating
it'll
around. Maybe we gave it to everybody on the plane.
Give ye douche chills.
Douche chills.
Oh, and speaking of on the plane,
mm-hmm.
this morning, listen, first off, on an airplane back from Tampa Bay, leaving very early in the a.m. The guy you don't want to be behind is Bob Golic.
Oh, my God.
Bob Golic had, he immediately went to sleep. And listen, if you're Bob Golic and you're a guy who's on TV, I guess you really don't care if you showered or shaved or even put on clean clothes before you got onto an airplane.
Well, that's kind of his rap, isn't it? I mean, yeah. Is Bob Golic, which is the, there's the put together Golic brother.
No,
you know
is,
what I mean? The clean shaven Golic.
This
and then
is
there's
the fat one that was on Saved by the Bell.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. He was a mess. He wheeled himself onto the plane, and he got in the seat directly in front of Bart and myself.
Yeah.
And immediately, as soon as he got in the seat goes back 2 inches.
Sure. Which, you know, with his, you know, with his weight, I'm sure.
Yeah, because he's not pressed the button.
No,
it's just,
right.
He's in the chair.
Sure.
And the seat has come back 2 inches. And even, you know, I mean, I'm clogged up, Bart's clogged up, we're all clogged up. Right away, we noticed B.O.
Yeah.
Real B.O.
Oh, God.
And then during the flight, and Bob Golic was sleeping the whole flight, quite a few beefers, quite a few FBDs.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Were just, they were not pleasant.
Well, I remember we saw him in Radio Row on Friday. Remember, he was over in the back corner.
Yeah.
That was Bob Golic,
yes,
right?
It was right.
So this is the long hair, kind
shaggy
of
looking guy,
shaven Golic brother.
He's a caveman looking guy.
There's another Golic that's also in broadcasting. That I forgot what his first name is.
But yeah, he's like the slimmed down, better looking version.
Yeah,
although
yeah,
you know, he ain't no male model himself.
No, he's
the
not.
Other Golic brother. But at one point, the stew walked by. Excuse me, the waitress walked by, and she said, would you like a glass of water or a glass of orange juice? And I said, I think I'll take the water. And she leaned in, and she walked right into the wall of sink. And
right.
I could tell she had a reaction, but she didn't say anything. I said to her, it's not me. It's that guy. It's that guy right there. And then she just looked at me. She looked at me like, yeah, I get it.
Oh, my God.
I get it.
Well, I was curious, because Rob and I flew back Sunday morning, and I was curious as to how you found the getting out of town. That's usually pretty insane.
CF.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah.
A gigantic CF. But listen, we've got a whole weekend worth of stuff from Tampon Bay to tell you about, from our Friday night that continued into Saturday afternoon, that continued into Saturday evening.
Yes.
That continued, at least for Bart and I, into Sunday and into late Sunday night.
Right.
What a mess this weekend was. What a, I mean, a good mess, but Jesus Christ, what a mess. And you know what? I'm tired of saying I don't care where the seats are. I'm tired of saying, give me a seat anywhere in the stadium. Okay. Because Bart and I were 8 rows from the top level of Raymond James Stadium. I counted. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. We were in the 8th row.
Well, you were there.
From the very top.
You were, at least you were there.
Yeah. Yeah, we were there. And you know what was cool is that we did see the stealth bomber because we were up, because our seats were so bad.
You were actually above the stealth bomber, weren't you?
The stealth bomber really flew very close to where we are. And I normally am not impressed with crap like that.
Right.
I was impressed with that. And then when the Thunderbirds came over, they were so close to where we were that I actually took a step back to look at these 5 planes flying in formation and promptly fell down the aisle.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh.
Hello, hi, everybody. How you doing?
Good evening.
How are you doing?
How's everybody doing up here?
How you doing? But I guess we should start the entire Super Bowl recap with, well, Friday night. We got down to the show on Friday,
mm-hmm.
and we went to the Commissioner's Party.
Yay! Yes, the wonderfully exclusive Commissioner's Party where, foolishly, we all try to garner these tickets to this event.
Speaking of foolish, did you see in the paper today what they were scalping tickets and getting for tickets
yeah.
for that party?
$1,000 for that gay party.
Do you know how dumb we are?
Oh, my God, really?
We were walking around with extra tickets.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, and we didn't even... Who knew that you would want to, someone would want to buy tickets to that party? Well, I saw in the newspaper on Saturday at Tampa, they said the hottest ticket in town on Friday night was to the Commissioner's Party.
Hey, if you like a line, if you like a food line longer than the New Jersey Turnpike,
right.
then that's your event.
However, we found a way around that line.
Well, we found a way around that line that we've never found at this thing, and thanks to all those evil people down in Tampa.
So here's the deal. You get a ticket for this Commissioner's Party, which is supposed to be very exclusive, and in fact, any schmuck You know, they give the tickets away.
Right.
It's mainly for friends of the NFL. And once you get inside this, it was at the convention center, gigantic, like eight big ballrooms. This year, the theme was...
What was the theme?
I think it was
Stargaze.
Yes. And
it was gay gaze.
Yeah, it was like S-C-A-R-G-A-Y-S.
What it was a bunch of people, I guess, dressed up like... mythic creatures of astrology.
It was the signs of the zodiac.
And the women were all covered up in robes like you would see on that Xerox commercial, but the men, the bodybuilders, were painted with silver paint.
Yeah, they looked like they were rejects from that Broadway show Cats.
And only like muscle bound and up on big pedestals posing for everybody.
And
wow.
It was like the dudes at Buckingham Palace.
Right.
Because they're not supposed to make eye contact,
right.
And they're not supposed to talk with you.
But they are moving, so they would like go into various poses, and it was the weirdest, creepiest thing I've ever seen.
It was very queer. It was worthless. So once we get there, we find out that this party is worthless. We start making our way.
But with all fairness, we knew this party was worthless from years past. We know this party is the most exclusive ticket in town, but much like a lot of stuff down there, it's surrounded with unbelievable levels of hype. So everybody wants to go. The only moment that you realize that the party is nothing is when you want to get some food or a drink.
Or when you see that Jeff Shrinsky is there. Because, if they let Jeff Shrinsky in.
Yeah, everybody.
They're letting the homeless people in.
Sure.
So we get in this thing, and I mean, like, it's a CF to get a drink. You got to wait in line for 20 minutes. They have these gay male models who are posing on these big pedestals. But as you wind your way through the back of the convention center, you see that what they've got is an area where they've got it blocked off with little white picket fences. And back there, you've got all the real names. You got your Ditka, you got your Peyton Manning, you got your...
It's amazing that people pay the money they pay.
Your Dick Vermeil.
And some people, you know, with the scalp tickets, I mean, going for $1,000 to get into this party, only to walk in and say, hey, I'm in the most exclusive club in the world, and then you see in the middle of the convention center a railing separating you from the real power... It is... It really boggles my mind how they do that to people.
Well, listen to this. Listen to this ingenious plan by little Tommy Rivers from our Infinity Station.
Tommy Rivers, who I believe in a previous life was Al Capone.
Wow. As you walk into the convention center, they give you a little button that has a flashing light on it.
And what they do is you have blue tickets and you have gold tickets. And as you're walking up there, they say, blue tickets to the left, gold tickets to the right.
And when you're first walking through, you don't know.
No.
You just go, all right.
I suppose we immediately realized our blue tickets weren't.
Yeah,
the gold ticket had to be the A ticket.
It's the crappy ticket. And then you realize when you get your little button that the button corresponds to your ticket. And the button that you wear on your lapel is what gets you into this little fenced-off area where you don't have to wait in line for food, where you don't have to wait in line for drinks, and where you got all the famous people.
The way they handed out the buttons was they put them in these cauldrons, and they would reach in. Once you would hand them the ticket, these idiot volunteers would reach down and hand you your button. Well, one of these brilliant thugs at QIK down there in Tampa Bay apparently handed the guy, he had a gold ticket, handed the guy the gold ticket, and when the guy wasn't looking, reached into this cauldron and just grabbed a handful of these gold badges
to
get you into the owner's side.
We took... Not do we, Tom Rivers, although we were certainly in on this.
Right, well, you're in on it after the fact. They said, hey, they introduced us to this guy that had a suit jacket with his pockets full of these gold badges.
They had about 5, maybe 10 of these, and the plan to get everybody into this area was that you would walk past the security guard with the velvet rope, and you would have the correct button on.
Uh-huh.
Then as soon as you were in there, you would take the button off, you would put it in a napkin, you would walk to the corner,
uh-huh,
and then you would hand it over the velvet rope to someone outside who would then put the same button on.
Tom Rivers, this guy from QYK, who incidentally has to put us on down there because we have to be associated with this.
He kind of owes us.
He owes us now. He comes up and he says, I'm looking for a white Budweiser cup. Well, they don't have white Budweiser cups on this side. What he didn't want was a clear glass because he wanted to put like 4 of these badges into a cup and just hand it to somebody.
So I believe he ended up getting...
Almost 20 people.
Easy.
With like four badges.
Wow. Easily. We commandeered that room. It was basically the owners of every professional football team and a bunch of DJs.
Well, that's good.
And we were not supposed to be in there.
And you know, but when you get in there, you know, and they have little degrees of control how they separate you. And you're constantly working. The plot has to continue when we are in there, because once you got in there, if you were going to grab some food and sit down, you're going to have to sit down at somebody's table that you don't belong to.
Right. So what I did was walk around the room.
So did I.
Since every table had the placard from a various team.
Right.
And I walked around and thought, what team is not very popular? And I walked around Indianapolis Colts. There's nobody sitting at the Indianapolis Colts table.
Huh. You know where I dined?
Where?
NFL International.
An even better choice. Even more obscure.
Sure.
I figured, what the heck.
So I sit down at the Indianapolis Colts table, and they have little numbers.
We're talking about linen tablecloths.
Yeah.
I mean, the difference from the rest of the party was, this is where the owners were. This is where there were no lines. This is where the food was phenomenal.
Where they would bring you drinks. You didn't have to like wait in line an hour for a drink,
and you had to have your neck on a swivel to because there were so many famous people in there. It was truly amazing.
Wow. So I'm sitting down at the Colts table, and all of a sudden I feel a tap on my shoulder, and I turn around, and it's Peyton Manning, the quarterback of the Colts, and his wife or his girlfriend, I don't know. He says, "Hi, do I know you?" Because it's the Colts table. And
yeah,
I said,
right.
I don't think we've met. I'm Don. How you doing?
Great line. You got to do a lot of that at these parties. We haven't met.
Right. And he sat down, and he did most of the talking. So, where are you from? Are you from Indianapolis? I said, oh, no. I'm from Washington, D.C. He said, hmm? He didn't seem to want to ask why I was sitting at the Indianapolis Colts table.
It was large enough in there and confusing enough where you could get away with this.
That's wonderful.
And it really, the only way is if, like, the table was fully occupied and there was one seat left.
Yeah.
You shouldn't have done that, but there were enough empty seats, you know, in this monument to excess.
So once the drink started flowing, that's when the courage level started to rise.
Okay?
Sure.
And I think the first time was that I had said hello to Dan Snyder, the owner of the Redskins, and I came over and I said to Mike, hey, I just said hi to Snyder.
Well, I, you know, surprisingly enough, had also had some adult beverages, and I said, you got to introduce me. This was after, when you were saying hi to Dan Snyder, I was introducing myself to Coach Marty Schottenheimer.
Oh, I fixed that one, too, incidentally.
Oh, my God.
Because Mike was the new coach of the Redskins.
I walk up to him, and I said, hi, Coach Schottenheimer. Listen, you ever have a complaint about Snyder? You got an open forum right here. And he said, well, I don't think that's the way I do business. And he, you know, shook my hand and walked away, and I went. I said, I burned that bridge quick as anybody could have ever burned a bridge.
So I went right back to him, and I said, hey, the guy you just met, that's the guy that I work with. He's a giant fan of yours, a big supporter.
I told him that. He seemed to like that part of it, too. I said, because I did use Marty Party.
So here's the Snyder deal. We're kind of bombed. And I said to Mike, hey, Snyder just said hello to me. And Mike says, it's almost like daring it, you know?
Yeah, that's exactly what I did.
Introduce me to him.
I said, okay, come on, man.
I said, all right. So then we inched closer and closer and closer, and he was having conversations with the people. And finally, it was down like to him and two people. And I
was really standing next to Don, because Don said, just wait till there's an opening in the conversation. I said, there's an opening now. There's an opening now. Go over there.
So here's Dan Snyder's, here's exactly how he reacted. I tapped him on the shoulder and said, hi. Hey, listen, you know what? Mike would really love to meet you. And here's what Dan Snyder does. He looks at his watch, and he goes, bring him over. Like, that's how freaking busy he is.
Oh, yeah. And he wasn't. He wasn't busy at all.
No, but it was a giant goof for us.
Oh, we walk over, so Dom waves me over, and I run over like a schoolgirl. I run over, and then, you know, here's Schneider with you on the left, me on the right. The look on his face, this is a man who wanted to be in a different country.
I mean, he didn't want
to have anything to do with us.
He had no freaking idea what we were doing.
No,
exclusive area.
Absolutely. Right. You know, but we're just saying hi to everyone. I guess you bumped into. I see Bob Kraft, the owner of the New England Patriots, walking along, and I'm sitting there, and I go, Bob! And he comes walking by and says, Mike O'Mara, how are you? So he didn't keep walking. He introduces me to his wife. This is my wife. Hello. Nice to see you. Good luck, Bob. Here we are. It's like the idiot Abbott and Costello.
We are the absolute mooks. And then what happens is we're continuing to walk around the room. Now all of a sudden everybody's daring everybody. And someone says to me, hey, there's Ditka. I dare you. Go sit down next to Ditka. So this one, I'm more nervous than Schneider or Schottenheimer.
Sure.
But finally a chair opens up, and I do it just because there's a bunch of guys watching me.
Right, right.
I just go over and I sit down next to Ditka. And with them watching me, I put my hand on his shoulder.
Oh, God.
And what they don't know is what I'm saying to him is, hi, listen, I'm just proving to my friends that I've got the guts to come sit next to you. I said, if you could turn and wave to that big fat guy and the skinny guy, it would really make me a hero. And he said, no problem. He waved to Strinsky and waved to Tom Rivers.
Right.
And
that's great.
And then I got up to leave, and he said, where are you going? So I sat down and had an adult beverage with Mike Ditka.
Oh, man. I see Phil Simms in the food line, and I'm standing there, and he goes over, and I didn't make any conversation with him because I was staring. Because I was staring at him.
And he's because you love him.
He's reaching in, not after yesterday's broadcast, he's reaching in to scoop out, like, whatever scallops or whatever, and he's putting them on his plate and whatnot. And I'm just looking at him with, and at this point, I'd had enough adult beverages where I was kind of just sitting there. I guess my mouth was slightly agape. So I was looking at him piling his plate, and I was looking at him like this. And he just looked up and gave me a little raised eyebrow, which was... And he continued to move through the food line.
I mean, we were the two mooks. We stood out like sore thumbs.
Absolutely. You know, you can dress us up, but...
At least the other mooks that we were there with, they all played the game.
Mm-hmm. They looked more businesslike than we did.
They walked around all dignified. I mean, we had our fancy, shiny suits on, but still...
Yeah, but you know, we don't do it like we used to. You know what I mean? We really don't.
No.
We don't make nearly the effort that we used to. We got the first time we got invited to that commissioner's party, we both had the shirts and the ties.
Yeah.
But now it's just like the sweater under the suit.
Yeah.
You know, I was like pulling my suit jacket over the Nike logo. So as not to appear, too sloppy. Oh, God.
And I don't even know if you know this, but I took Dick Vermeil by the arm and led him around that little area trying to find you for like 3 minutes. I just said, hey, Coach Vermeil, my friend really, really wants to meet you.
I become suddenly everybody's biggest fan.
Right. Well, because, in a way...
It's a great excuse.
Yeah. Right. And I actually... grabbed him by the sleeve of his coat, and I said,
right.
Come on, I think he's right over here. I think he's over here. And then we hooked up with Bonnie Bernstein for a while.
Nice. Who also looked like she wanted to be in a different state.
And Andrea Kramer, who I believe is in line to star in the Karen Carpenter story if they ever remake that movie.
She was a tad thin.
I mean, she's a sweet lady and a wonderful broadcaster and always been a very good friend of ours when we're down there, but Jesus Christ.
And, of course, Rudy Martsky, who got us our tickets to get into that commissioner's party, and Rudy Martsky, who introduced us to his latest best friend, who he'd met like 2 hours earlier.
Rudy's always got a guy like that.
Yeah, every time we see him.
Who he's just hooked up with.
And it's like Derelict Bob, or this is Wind Up Zippy, or whoever he's got nicknames. Yeah, that's right, Rob. He had the twitching eye.
Rudy's eye was out of control on Friday night.
Absolutely.
And for a while... I mean, I really was the unlucky guy because I was stuck with Mouse for a while on Friday night as she was discussing how Andrea Kramer uses her breast pump sometimes when she's on the phone with Rudy.
Wow.
You know, she'll call at 8 o'clock in the morning, and I'll say, Rudy, what are you talking about? And he'll say, Andrea Kramer is pumping her breast milk. Could you imagine that? Could you actually sit on the phone with someone and... pump breast milk while you were talking to Rudy.
Meanwhile, you're saying, get me out of here.
there was no one to save me.
Oh, God.
So we get done with this commissioner's party, and it's late, but it's not super late. And then someone says, hey, we should go to some other exclusive party.
This is the Maxim magazine party.
Oh. Right, and this is supposed to be the party that's even hotter than the party that we're at.
Well, these guys from QYK, they were all connected down there. Tom Rivers and these people, they had VIP passes to get into this party.
So we get in Tom Rivers' car, and we start driving through, I'm guessing all of Tampa Bay is a ghetto, but we were driving through, I mean, that really was a super ghetto area that we were driving
a little,
through.
A little rough neighborhood, and, you know, you could have dropped either one of us off, and we would not have known where we were.
Well, and I was dropped off because about quarter till midnight, the phone rang.
Right.
My cell phone rang. It was Bart, and he said, Dad, I'm not feeling well. When are you coming back? And at that point, I said, you know what? I'm going to bag this and go be with my kid.
And you always know that guys are into going to a party when they start abandoning, you know, the other guys in the car. Because it was, the plan was to literally drop Don off on the street. And then I'm sitting in the middle, and I look over, and I see a cab. I said, there's a cab right there.
And I mean, if...
And, you know, you want to know... You know, women don't do this. Women are going to say, hey, we'll take you to a certain, you know, we'll walk in with you, we'll call the cab, we'll sit with you for a minute. Oh, no. Guys, really, it's all they can do not to keep the wheels moving when we drop Don off. And so we see a cab over there, and a guy says, hey, stop the cab. And you have four guys leaning out the window. They go, cab! Well, stop. And so I'm like, oh, well, at least he'll get a cab.
That cab did not stop, though.
Don gets out. We go roaring off. I can't even turn around because I'm sitting next to Tom Rivers.
And at that
who's
point...
a bit of a tiny man.
At that point, as I watch Tom Rivers' car go down a road, and I don't know where I am. I realize all of a sudden,
right,
I'm standing in the middle of nowhere.
And the car is driving off into the distance. I said, did he get the cab? And the guy in the back says, I don't think so, man.
Oh, well.
But there was no turning around to go rescue you.
Thank God. I got a cab driver who was absolutely... I mean, he might as well have been drunk the way he was driving.
Right.
I mean, he violated every traffic law.
Got you back home.
Get me back to the hotel. Beautiful. I was up back with Marty by midnight, but that's where Mike's adventure begins.
Well, we had tickets to the Maxim magazine party and VIP tickets to the Maxim magazine party.
Cool.
The funny thing is that the VIP tickets, I didn't realize this at the time, but they allow you to get free booze.
Wow. Wow.
Everybody else had to pay for their drinks, but the VIP ticket just kind of had an open glass.
Uh-oh.
So we get to this Maxim magazine party with the VIP pass on it, and we bump into Shrinsky again, and we see all these thugs. I call them thugs from TQIK, because they're all like Tom Rivers, this guy who runs this radio station.
It's a country radio station,
right.
But they're like... Hillbilly Mafia.
They're all like, yeah. it's like the Tampa Mafia, these guys. They're all running around
well,
this
not
one
to mention
guy.
The fact, I mean, they've all got like deputies badges and stuff.
Yeah, right, exactly.
They've all got real deputies badges, because at one point, when we were going to that guy's house to get those passes,
right.
They're going like 80 miles an hour, and I said, hey, wow, slow down. And, right. Tom Rivers says, hey, no problem, man.
Mm-hmm.
Pulls out his wallet while he's driving 80 miles an hour. He's got... A deputy sheriff's badge.
It's incredible.
And then Trinsky says, hey, I got one too.
Oh, no.
Yeah. So, like, these guys are, you know, it's like the Hillbilly Mafia.
Well, it's a lot of sales guys, a lot of people there. It's like everything. You've got a bunch of guys that are hanging around, and then there seem to be all the women that were there. It was my opinion that there were certain women that were on certain stages that might have been affiliated with a magazine, maybe. But I think most of the women that were walking around there, it was my opinion that these women had been brought in for the party.
Sure.
I mean, they all looked kind of like they're probably exotic dancers. That was my impression.
But this wasn't a strip thing, right?
No, not at all. No, this was a Maxim magazine party. You know, Maxim magazine is kind of it's the trendy magazine.
Yeah,
now.
We love Maxim.
And it's really known for its pictorial. And so they have all these women that are running around, and they had celebrities. And, you know, you can't... I have a VIP badge, and it was almost at the end of the evening when Jeff Shrinsky comes up to me and says, hey, you got a VIP badge. I said, yeah. He said, what are you doing? This is the way I am at these kind of parties. He said, what are you doing out here? I said, what do you mean? You're in the wrong area. Go back to the exclusive area. And I go back to the exclusive area when the party is basically breaking up.
Oh.
And it's just starting to...
Always the time that you or I will arrive.
So. Right. It sucks, too, because I realize that there are no lines, and it was so crowded out on the main floor. You know, a bunch of guys that are basically staring at women all night long. I did have some celebrity sightings. Magic Johnson, as they said on there, you know, Magic Johnson in the house! Magic Johnson in the house! And then everybody watched Magic Johnson dance because Magic Johnson's 150 feet taller than everybody else.
Right.
And you can see him, but I did see the very puffy Kirstie Alley walk by.
Oh, yeah, I read in the paper that she was there.
And I said, you know, at this point, hey, I'm feeling a little good. I say, Kirstie! As she walks by, and all I got was the turnaround and... a little twinkle wave, like that little that kind of wave. And I'm trying to think of any other the only other celebrity. And I tried to initiate. They were whisking him away, but the this was a powerful showbiz luminary party. Mr. Rob Schneider.
Yeah.
Big time with his, you know, with his Bozo the Clown hair. And he was having, it was kind of written all over his face that he might have had too much day.
Really?
I think they were getting him out of there. I mean, he was looking like he was feeling pretty good. But that was really the beginning of the adventure, because that's when I bumped into two guys from the station here. Crazy Ivan, you know Ivan, one of our sales guys, and a gentleman who, wherever there's a party, I am convinced he will arrive. Mr. Steve Johnson.
I don't think
Steve Johnson has missed a party in the last 30 years.
This has cracked my ass up the most. When I talked to Mike on Saturday morning, he said, what'd you end up doing? He said, ended up with Steve Johnson.
Steve Johnson and Ivan. And we get out of this party, and you know, they say, hey, you want to get a cab and go back to the hotel? I said, yeah, that'll be great. So we leave this party, and I realize suddenly that, you know, there's one road, one narrow little road going into this place. Where, you know, once again, when you go to these things and you're being driven places, I have no idea where I am.
Yeah, it's not like
I could have been in Miami. It wouldn't have mattered.
It's not like Tom Rivers and the Hillbilly Mafia are waiting for you to give you a ride back to the hotel.
Well, these parties, you know, everybody kind of disperses and goes their separate way. So we go out and we walk around. And at this moment, you know, when you're thinking like this, we all decide we're going to just try to commandeer a limo. Now, really, you would say to yourself, how do you commandeer a limo? How do you just, you know, get a limo? And I really...
How did you do it?
Well, you know something? I never thought it would be that easy.
And not just any limo.
I believe it was a Lincoln Navigator.
Yeah, it was a Ray Lewis limo.
And I believe it was brand new.
Wow.
And I believe I just asked the guy if I could get in. And I believe he let me.
Wow.
And I believe Steve Johnson and Ivan followed. And I believe probably 100 people got in the limo after that. And I believe we ended up at another party. And I believe the evening ended at 3:30 in the morning.
Oh. When did you lose your cell phone?
It was, I think what happened was, because I had gotten into this limo first before the people that paid for it got in it.
Right.
I was all the way to the very end, right by the driver's side. And so then 100 people piled into this limo. And as opposed to, you know, wanting that tedious wait of waiting to get out of the limo while 100 people piled out, I decided that I would go through the divider window.
You climbed through the divider?
Yes, I did. And it was at this moment that I think I lost my cell phone.
Sure.
Again, for the second time in a month.
My God.
So, the first time, you know, I don't know where I put it, but this time it was, I had it in my breast pocket.
On Saturday morning, about 9 o'clock, I called Mike up. No, he's not feeling good because he's talking like Major Bill. But it's not good, it's a joke.
No, it's real Major Bill. Don calls me about 9 o'clock.
9 o'clock.
Which 9 o'clock for me might as well have been 5:30 in the morning.
I said, hey, what'd you end up doing last night? I ended up with Steve Johnson. I said, really? You ended up with Steve Johnson? Are you going to play golf tonight? No, I'm going to lay here in the fetal position for a while.
Yeah. And I said, but thank you so much for the invite. And, you know, is that, I actually watched a movie and then went to bed.
What a day.
What a day.
What a day.
I believe I rallied at about 2 o'clock in the afternoon.
Oh, and listen, hold on. We'll pick it up there when we come back. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, Rob and I and Wendell and Bart had some adventures before we hooked up with you at our fantastic parking lot party.
Yes.
At
the greatest hotel in the world.
At the Holiday Inn.
The greatest Holiday Inn known to mankind.
Center City. I mean, I think if you've gone in that hotel with one of those black lights.
Right, exactly.
Forget about it.
Hi, can we lose any stuff for you, sir?
There are the touchstones. Oh, that's right. I forgot how mad you were that they lost your shirt.
Yeah, they lost my shirt. But they got it back for me the day after I needed it.
There are the touchstones. Let's clear these lines out right now. I got a call 100.
I'm sorry, the receipt will not be printed.
So you'll have to check out and we will send it to you. What is your fax number?
Folks, what did you expect? You expect we go to something like this and come back and say everything was great?
I'm sorry, we do not have dental floss.
I want a dental floss. They didn't have it.
Oh, well, you know, I went through the deal, well, I told you on Friday,
yeah,
trying to get a thermometer for the boy.
You see the color of the water when you first turn it on? Did you get that?
A little brownish.
Yeah, brown.
Coppery.
It kind of, it comes out, you know, it was fine water pressure that I had, but the first inch or so of the water was...
Okay, clear them out. Let's get a call 100 now. They're at the Touchstones again with the secret song. Call Lisa right now. She'll take the 100th call. Her phone number is 877-365-3636.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
I'm sorry about the confusion, Larry, but you know the network.
Yeah, man, they are a bunch of dickheads.
God damn it. The Don and Mike Show.
Right. Time for call 100. Here we go. Hello there. Don and Mike Show.
Hey there.
Hi.
Caller 100.
Yes. Pick up, please.
Thank you.
Thank you for picking up. What's your name?
This is Matt.
Hi, Matt. Where are you from?
Reno, Nevada.
Matt, call number 100. Oh, you know, we're coming out there.
I know you are. We are looking forward to it.
Hey, it's an excellent chance to hear our Barry White promo again.
Fantastic. Yeah.
Let's all enjoy that. The stylings of Mr. Jason Feces.
Don and Mike Show cordially invites you to a beautiful evening in Lake Tahoe, Nevada. Friday, February 23rd, it's the Don and Mike Lake Tahoe Reno Style Show. This gala show will include all the raunchy fun you've come to expect, including the underwear fashion show, of course. The show is at Harrah's of Lake Tahoe, and it starts at 8 p.m. It's first come, first served. So make your plans now. We invite your ass to come on down.
The Don and Mike Las Vegas Style Show.
I'm cutting a fucking spot, Tony.
Don't miss it.
You've never heard that Barry White tape that we have.
He does the finest Barry White impression in the country.
And every day, Jason VC says something to me like, join me for a lovely, walk down the stairs.
He's great.
Yeah.
That's fantastic.
Okay, so you're from Reno. Call 100. Here you go. You won the Blockbuster DVD rental pass, and that means you get one free DVD rental every day for the next 30 days from Blockbuster, the best way to DVD.
Woohoo! Right on.
All right, good prize. Right on, my friend.
Right.
Right on.
Oh.
You know, didn't Budweiser steal our idea for that commercial?
Yes, Budweiser did a commercial that ran on yesterday's Super Bowl that we had done over eight months ago.
Yeah. No, longer than that. I mean, anybody tell me if this sounds familiar, okay?
This is almost a year old.
Yellow.
Hello there, old friend. What are you doing?
Hey, what is up? I'm just watching Antiques Roadshow and having some apple juice.
Hey, there's my call waiting. Hello?
Hello, companion.
Hey, it's Charlie Broyhill.
Hey, Charlie, what is up? Hold on. There's a knock at my door. Hello?
Well, hello there, old friend. What is up?
Not much. I'm just having an apple juice watching Antiques Roadshow.
Watching Antiques Roadshow and having an ice cold apple juice. True that.
Okay.
Amazing. I mean, really, that's the exact same idea. Mm-hmm.
The idea. Mm-hmm. That was one of the most popular commercials during the Super Bowl yesterday. A bunch of white guys who couldn't say what's up.
Right. Too bad it's not a song or a movie idea.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
If it was a song or a movie idea, we'd be able to sue them.
Well, we should be able to get something. I mean, Jesus Christ.
Should we be able to get something for that? I mean, I'd like to hear from people that know about that sort of thing, that's our idea.
Yes, we've been running that for a year.
That's They used it to sell their product and make money. So, I mean, that's intellectual property.
Correct.
And it's ours.
Mm-hmm. Well, listen, here you go with the secret song. I don't want to forget that. Sponsored by our friends across the hall at Main Street Title. You'll play for $500. Simply identify this top 10 song from the 80s. Godspeed, please don't answer till Mike sings like...
Bono.
And we wish you, like I said, Godspeed.
Caller, name this secret song.
There it is. Oh, I was singing that song all weekend in Tampa. I found every time that I was down, I would sing that song. It would really pep me up. God, that's a great happy song. It really is. Yes.
For $5. What is that song?
Guys, I have not a clue. I'm sorry, I'm drawing a blank on that one.
How about placating us and just guessing a song?
Oh, God, I would have to say Devo Whip It.
Okay, no.
Thank you.
Thank you for playing along, though.
Thank you for giving us a guess.
And please don't forget that every guess is
a clue for you.
A clue for you. Oh, and you know, the Ravens, all of the Super Bowl stuff is now running together. The commercial.
And congratulations to the Baltimore Ravens if we didn't get a chance to say that yet.
The Ravens, tomorrow they're having the parade in Baltimore, and we're sending Lisa down.
Very good.
With the tape recorder.
Hello, hon.
And she will have her full report. We received this from an entrepreneur in Baltimore. I thought it was a goof, but it's true. It's Ray Lewis hot sauce and Ray Lewis jalapeno sauce.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they sent us like a couple of bottles of this crap and wanted to know if we would do free commercials for them.
Well, we just did.
For Ray Lewis. Well, no. I mean, we did but it was mocking Mike.
Yes, I know it was.
And we didn't give out the website where you can.
Didn't they have Ray Lewis water in that same crate?
Yes, that's right. It was right. Also Ray Lewis drinking water.
Branching out.
Ray Lewis drinking water. And hey, nice dance last night, Ray.
And congratulations on the MVP for Mr. Ray Lewis. And I just, you know, you won't meet a more humble man.
It's too bad that Disneyland went with the. Old doofus Trent Dilfer.
Yes, they did. Yes, they did. And then Ray Lewis said they're the greatest defense in NFL history.
Right. And he's entitled to that opinion because...
Absolutely. They won the Super Bowl.
Opinions are like cowboy hats.
Right.
But I don't know. If I was an investor, I don't know if I would invest in Ray Lewis hot sauce or Ray Lewis jalapeno sauce.
I think it'll be flying off the shelf.
So do I.
It'll be bigger than Survivor 2.
Yesterday he was guilty of obstruction. Guilty of obstruction of defeat. Thank you, everybody. You know, before we get back to the Super Bowl stuff, I don't know why they bother to send us Xerox copies of hate letters. It's the management here that sends us a copy of a hate letter.
That's nice.
I mean, what purpose does that serve? Like, for instance, we received in the mail today two separate pieces of hate mail. One of them is actually quite funny. A guy who listens to the show in Spokane, Washington, on KFAM, sent us something out of the... Spokane Spokesman Review.
The Spokane Spokesman?
Yes.
That's a mouthful.
In the letter to the editor segment. And now this is actually funny. Because the guy's writing about our show. He doesn't know who we are, but here's what the guy writes.
Okay.
Garbage mouths still soil local airwaves. As I dialed through the AM talk show programs the other day, I stumbled upon two men having a dialogue on AM 790. Comedy hardly describes what I heard unless you consider their own laughter at each other's crude remarks humorous entertainment.
Well, yeah.
I enjoy humor as much as anyone, but the language of these two men on midday air was shockingly profane, vulgar, and tasteless drivel. I did not listen long enough to hear who sponsors this obnoxious pollution of Spokane's airwaves.
Wow.
Or whether management opens the show with some type of cowardly disclaimer.
Specifics, please.
If this is a free speech thing, some people are missing the point of that right which we all cherish. This alleged comedy talk show abuses the intent of free speech by burning our ears with filth in the guise of humor. Who are the producers and sponsors of this show?
Who are these people?
Surely this program will not last. Good luck.
He's going to be disappointed.
Or I have misread the profile of this community citizens, who I hope will quickly turn the dial past this smut, as I did.
Uh-huh.
Ron Ross, Spokane, Washington.
Where are our names in there?
Well, no, it's 790, that's us.
You didn't catch it.
And it's midday.
And we're on from noon till 4.
So it had to be us.
Yeah, and the rest of the station is sports programming.
Well, maybe he's a man of conviction where he really didn't stay with it.
Right.
Because he didn't have any detail there, but I bet he stayed with it a while.
So that one I don't mind getting. That one I laugh at. That's like funny. A listener sent us that out of the newspaper. Now, listen to this letter. This letter comes to our general manager here at JFK, Alan Linewand.
Okay.
And it goes to, as you can see... It started with Jim McClure, then it was passed to Jeremy Colden, then it was passed to Alan, then it was passed to Ken, and it's on my desk today, Don G, FYI, Ken.
Okay.
Dear manager, yesterday afternoon the segment done by Don and Mike was totally disgusting. I had the misfortune of allowing my 13-year-old son to choose the station on the way home, and before I knew it, I was hearing a physical description of a woman's vagina. This must be pushing the envelope by any pornographic standard. I was totally shocked that something like this could be done on regular radio. Question mark. What the hell is the world coming to? Three question marks. Innuendo and other sexual exploitation of women may be considered entertainment by some, but this was off-the-wall rated X material and should not be allowed to come across our public radio stations. I am complaining about this and hope your station will be more responsible towards the listening audience of the future. I realize that Don and Mike, in my opinion, two fat pigs.
Wow.
Could never get women any other way to expose themselves without using their position in pricey giveaways. But in the future, let them keep their disgusting fantasies in their own home.
Hey!
Signed, totally offended woman listener.
Well, she told us, yeah. You know, we didn't need the fat pig thing.
You know, I mean, listen, honey, I'm sorry you didn't like it. But first off, you know, if you let your kid run the radio, well, you're being a bad parent. And second off, why the hell is this on my desk today? What lesson are we supposed to learn from this letter?
What lesson you've learned is management is always trying to cheer you up.
Yeah, right.
They're really behind you around here. I think that's been demonstrated,
yeah.
Don't you?
I mean, what's the point of this?
I mean, they want to cheer you up. It's like, you know what the point of this is? No one had a thought to what the point of that was.
This is a bad anonymous letter written with a poor grammar by a woman who obviously doesn't like this show. How come this letter wasn't just dumped right in the garbage can?
Yeah, because they wanted to make your day.
Okay, thanks, Ken.
Thank you. Yeah.
Thanks, Alan.
Thank you.
Thanks, Jeremy. Thanks, Jim. All of the people who saw the letter before it worked its way to me.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Jim.
Okay, so now let's get back to the Super Bowl.
Very good. It was quite a weekend in Tampa.
So Saturday morning, call Mike about 9. Mike's in the fetal position. At this point, Bart's feeling better.
Right. Good.
I've not been hit with what he has yet. So I call Rob up. And I say, hey, what are you doing? Let's go to the White Trash NFL Experience.
Okay.
Rob says, great. I'm meeting Wendell for breakfast. Let's hook up with Wendell and have breakfast. Then the four of us can go to the NFL Experience.
Very good.
The NFL Experience. I mean, I know you see it on TV, and they make it look like some amusement park.
Right.
It's not. It's the biggest scam in the world. They charge people $20 for the right to come in and stand in line for 30 minutes to throw a small plastic football.
Something you could do in your own backyard for free.
Through a hole.
There you go. Okay. You could cut a hole into, you know, the wall and do it.
And don't forget, they're also charging you $20 to shop official NFL merchandise.
Yes. Yeah, you're also being charged $20 so you can come into the store to buy more things.
Right, you can't buy it for free. You have to pay the admission in order to buy it.
I think it's important that we reveal this.
Yes. But the funniest part of this whole expedition to the NFL Experience was, once again, Bobo Spiewak. Because at one point, they have a gigantic life-size picture of the Tampa Bay Bucks.
Right.
A team photo.
They love their Bucks.
I get it.
Okay, and the deal is that you, being a loyal fan, can go stand and put your head between Warren Sapp and John Lynch, and then you have a picture for your friends where it looks like you're on Tampa Bay.
Beautiful.
Well, as mook after mook after mook comes up to get their picture taken, Rob is hiding behind this thing, and right as some family says, okay, smile, Rob sticks his head up. So all of these people are going to go home and think that they have a picture of their loved one.
Right.
Actually,
who is that? Well, who is that enormous head?
He was given the same smile that he gives on his driver's license picture.
The open mouth, flash those pearly white smile.
Yeah. Ah, yeah.
So,
that's the best way to describe that smile on the air.
We bust a nut. We must have spent 15 minutes just watching Rob hide and get his picture taken with strangers.
Rob, would it be safe to say Rob, who is officially our court jester when we're on the road, was on his game this weekend?
Absolutely.
He was truly on his game right until I said goodbye to him in the airport.
There you go. So we get back from the NFL Experience. It's about 1 o'clock on Saturday. And you know, listen, this dirtbag hotel we stayed at, the Holiday Inn, City Center, Tampa Bay.
I think you should rename it based on the smell of my floor, the Holiday Inn BM.
It is. I mean, it is an awful flea bag, rat infested, stains on the ceiling, stains on the floor, nothing modern, nothing new.
In all fairness, I didn't have any flea bites and I didn't see any rats.
Okay, but I know that they were there. It's an awful hotel, but it was where we were at. And this is the point when I think I realized that we were the most pathetic. Because what they were having in the parking lot by the turnaround
right
in the front of this hotel was a DJ
right
who was playing Ice Ice Baby at like decibel level plus 25. I mean, you could not hear yourself think. So there were four picnic tables that were set up in front of the hotel.
Yeah. It was the, exclusive patio area.
And Rob and Wendell and Bart and myself sat there for nearly 2 hours. Rob was doing crossword puzzles.
Right.
I was reading the newspaper. Bart was attempting to do his homework. And Wendell was on his way to becoming the Wendell that we all really got to know on Saturday night.
Really? He had started that early. Yeah.
Well, no, I mean, we had, you know, Rob and I had a Bloody Mary or two also at this early afternoon thing.
Nothing to do.
Then Mike comes down and he joins us. And then we decide, you know what? We're going to go to this Gasparilla.
Gasparilla is the big event. You probably saw it covered on the news that they have down there in Tampa. It's a
like Mardi Gras.
It's a Mardi Gras where everybody, the only difference is everybody dresses as pirates.
So,
this one's seriously party. It's a serious party town.
This is where Mike was cracking me up because you were hungover.
Yeah.
And you were not happy.
No.
And we were trying to decide how we would get to the area in town, Ybor City, where they had closed off the streets and where they were throwing out beads and girls were showing their teats.
Right.
Mike says, I'll handle it. I'm going to go to the guy who runs the Holiday Inn shuttle.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to light him up, mm-hmm. and I'm going to get him to take us there.
Right. Uh-huh.
So, Mike goes over.
I walk up to this kid, and I say, for $20, will you take us down to the Ybor City so we can go to the Gasparilla thing? He said, give me 15 minutes. Go out. Wait on the corner.
Uh-huh.
And I'm hungover. I mean, easily duped. And I go, okay. So I tell all my cohorts that I've taken care of and I'm very proud of myself. And that if we go off the hotel grounds and stand on the corner, that this guy will meet us in 15 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm very, very excited about this until 20 minutes goes by.
And then Mike looks back over at the guy, and the guy leans out of the van and gives him one of these, like, no.
Go further,
you
go
gotta
further.
You got to move further.
And then the a-hole who worked for Holiday Inn vanishes.
Yep.
Never to be seen again, and that's when we decide to take Wendell's.
But I thought, of course it was a scam, and I'm sure he's sitting there laughing, going, hey, look.
But I didn't give him the money up front.
Yeah, but still, he got to laugh at.
Yes.
First, he got to watch the five of us, four of them, however many it was, standing on the street across from the hotel.
Right.
Then when he told us to walk down further.
Right.
We walked another three blocks and stood on that corner.
I know.
For another 10 minutes.
I apologized. Then I realized we'd been scammed, and then the idea was to take Wendell's blazer.
Right.
And take that over to Ybor City, where we were going to go, try to get something to eat and go to, see all the events.
So we get down to Ybor City. And it's, it's not like Mardi Gras. It's a festive attitude, and you can have open containers of beverages.
Mm-hmm. It's very festive. Everybody in town for the big game, and, it's when you get the bird's eye view of all the real fans.
Yeah.
God love them, all the spoiled fans that have come down for the big game. all the drunk, spoiled, loud, pushy, I'm not going to wait. I'm going to push you out of the way, fans.
Oh, yeah.
I was in that kind of frame of mind.
Yes, you were. Yes, you were.
I was just having none of it. I had been. At a certain point when you go to an event like this, and for anybody that's ever planning on doing it, you really have to have quite a tolerance for being kind of pushed out of the way.
Right.
Because people that go to the event, people that are going to go to the Final Four, the World Series, that are going to go to the event are people that are used to me getting what I want,
mm-hmm.
and they will push you out of the way, and they won't apologize.
I have to applaud Mike, because after about an hour in Ybor City, he was approaching my level of hatred of all things.
Absolutely. You and I were really having a discussion how we hate all people.
At that diner that we stopped at.
Oh, my God.
We could find no restaurant to eat at about 4 o'clock.
Right.
They shut down every restaurant on the whole street of Ybor City.
So there's this cheesy 50s Art Deco diner.
It really looked like they maybe opened that morning. They hadn't. They'd been there a long time. They just didn't know what they were doing.
So they get us a table, and we sit down, and we waited, how long, 20 minutes or there?
I think at least.
And the waitress walked by us like 20 times. I don't know what vibe we were giving off.
We were giving her some kind of vibe. You know, usually when you've got the big table,
right,
you can usually get somebody to come over. But they, I guess they were understaffed or something like that. And, you know, everybody else was, you know, realizing, you know, all people do down there is get their feedback on all day long. So we decided at that point that it was time to move on and leave. And we weren't really sure whether we were going to be able to find a place to eat because it was really starting to get nuts down there. I mean, he couldn't move in the streets because there were so many people.
So we ended up finding a very nice restaurant. And
yeah, we lucked out on that. We had a really, really nice meal.
In between walking around, trying to find a place to eat, Wendell was continuing the festive drinking that had been going on a couple hours earlier.
I would have suggested, if I had known what Wendell Hall's deal was going to be down in Ybor City, I seriously would have suggested that he gets one of the smart carts from the airport and maybe just put a keg on it so that he could carry, you know, so really, the man required so much beer.
You know those Foster's cans, those Giants Foster's cans?
Right.
At least three of those.
And we would be walking along, and we're all, you know, we're all kind of enjoying the day, and about every 30 seconds, someone would say, where is Wendell? And Wendell would be at one of the little beer stands having a conversation and ordering up another beer.
So at one point, Bart said to me, and I hope Wendell's not offended, but this is
Wendell. No,
he said, hey, Dad, look, Wendell is just like Homer Simpson. That, Wendell, because he was walking by a window, and there was a girl who was just standing in the window.
Right.
Right? And Wendell just stopped and was just staring at the woman. Right.
Right.
Just staring. And then he realized that she was a barmaid.
I wonder if I could get another beer, please. Thank you very much. There we go.
A great Wendell quote was when we were at lunch when he said, I like the way he pours that beer. So when the waiter came over, Wendell said, I'll have another spicy martini, a Budweiser, and did I see a key lime martini on the menu? One of those, please. So, not twice. He ordered three drinks.
At once.
Wow.
At once. So he was definitely out of his mind.
Right.
And it was late in the afternoon, and we were just trying to get the hell out of there. And like Mike said, every 2 seconds we'd walk along and go, oh, where's Wendell?
Yeah.
Where's Wendell? Hey, Wendell. Come here, Wendell.
I'll give him credit. Wendell was not like the guys that were, you know, some of the people we saw down there. You know,
no.
The guys that are sitting there with you know, holding their beer glasses up and just kind of looking at you like,
No, Wendell was very subdued.
He was enjoying his afternoon. Really, you know, he was kind of slowing the progress of our convoy, but, I mean, he was really, outside of that, he wasn't doing much else, you know?
And then we had to figure out how we were going to get back to the hotel.
Right.
Because there's not a chance we could let Wendell drive.
No.
And then the thought is, well, Bart could drive, but Bart's only got that restricted license that let him drive with another adult present, and Jesus, the place is loaded with cops, and there's all kinds of crazy people out there. So Mike took the wheel.
Okay.
Yay.
Yeah, because you might find this surprising. I was dry that day.
Oh, wonderful. Mike was not drinking on Saturday.
Yeah, Mike was recovering on Saturday. Absolutely.
So he drove back, and the conversation in this Blazer, and it was the five of us packed in this Blazer, at one point was so funny that I thought Wendell was going to gag himself. He was laughing and spitting. He still had a beer with him. And he
was the kind of off-air funny stuff where we're talking about people we can't talk about on the show, where Wendell went into this strangulated gurgle of a laugh at one point where I thought we were going to have to call the paramedic.
Really, it was...
Oh, my God. Just like...
I mean, that's exactly the sound.
Oh, my God.
And he made it all the way from Ybor City.
There's one moment when Rob said something funny and Wendell started laughing like that, and Don and I just looked at each other like we were laughing too, but then once that subsided and Wendell was going, I looked over and I'm like, my God, we're going to have a fatality in this car.
We thought Wendell was going to die.
Oh.
So we get back to the hotel, and what time did Wendell call you to see if you wanted to go back out?
45 minutes later.
45 minutes later.
I saw Wendell later, too. I went for a walk to find a souvenir jacket, which I never found, and I went like on this hour-long walk through all this carnival stuff.
Right,
you know, I'm walking over people's issue and stuff. It was nasty. Finally, because I was on my way to the official hotel. Like staying in our hotel and feeling like second-class citizens. If you really want to feel like a second-class citizen, you walk 1 hour to get to the official hotel of the NFL. I think it was the Hyatt, and they ask you for a wristband. and then turn you away.
And what do they call our hotel? They call them Splinter Hotels?
Spillover.
Spillover Hotel. Congratulations. You are in the NFL Media Spillover Hotel.
Exactly.
Which means, you know, you're in the asshole.
Yeah. And then I finally get back, and because when I went to this, you know, Dom was wearing this souvenir jacket that was about $50 that I really liked, and I wanted to get one for myself, and I was looking all over for it. We finally, he said, well, it's back at the hotel lobby. That's one thing our hotel had was a little stand, a little souvenir stand. And so when I finally get to the guy, once again, like everything else, the only thing I have is double XL. I am terribly sorry. Now, there was a day where that would have been the size I would have looked for, but those days do not exist anymore. And so I said, well, thank you very much. I'll go march out into the street and find it.
Did you ever find it?
No, I never found it.
You never found it?
No, no.
You know, we were trying to get you to buy this queer jacket.
I know, yeah. Yeah, everybody was trying to talk me into buying this, like, knee-length leather jacket that cost $1 million that had the Giants logo on it. I'm so glad I didn't do that.
It was the game.
You know, everybody's telling me, hey, it looks Rob especially.
Sure.
And Rob, I just want you to know, I knew exactly what you were doing.
It really looks good on you.
Yeah, and then, you know, and oh, the fun. Oh, the fun and laughter that would ensue if I bought that.
We even made you put it on a couple of times.
Yeah, you made me put it on twice. I shouldn't have done that the second time.
Come on, put it on again. It doesn't look that bad.
Right, no.
You should buy it. How much? It's $350. It's worth it.
Yeah, worth every nickel.
Worth it.
I look like an idiot.
It was just a leather jacket. I don't even know if it was real leather.
I think it was real leather.
Yeah.
I think it was
went
real leather.
Down to mid-thigh.
Right.
And had the helmets, giant helmets on each shoulder.
Right.
And on the back, it looked like someone puked the word Super Bowl. And it was just the most garish
thing. It was garish, yeah. It was garish. And boy, I would have really enjoyed that today, right, after the big win.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
So we tried to get you to buy it, and you wouldn't buy it. Now, at this point, we effectively parted company because Mike and Rob came back on Saturday morning.
Right.
Bart and I stayed for the game on Sunday.
So Rob and I get up at the crack of dawn on Sunday morning, and we had to leave the hotel at about 6:30 in the morning. So as we're driving to the airport, Rob, you know, is a phobic flyer like I am, and Rob, his doctor had given him some tranquilizers to make the fly. You know, I realize we're saying this and we're just sounding like a bunch of we're so alcohol and drug dependent on this show, but this is a prescription that Rob had, so he wouldn't,
drink.
Be nervous, and he wouldn't drink, and he'd feel refreshed. So we're driving, but I assumed he only needed it on the way down, and we're driving to the airport at 6:30 in the morning, and Rob's conversation, it wasn't a conversation, it was a sentence that began, I estimated, at 6:40, and at about 7:10, the sentence was continuing, and the sentence was, you know, my mom's going to pick me up at the airport, Carrie normally doesn't come, and she's going to wrap the baby up, and it's really going to be something, I'm not sure exactly what it's going, and I look over, and I said, did you take one of your pills? And he says, yes, I did.
What time?
And 5:30 in the morning. So apparently Rob had set his alarm to take his pill, like Elvis would have.
Right.
I took my attack at 6.
Attack.
For a reason. Because it's a 6-hour ride, those pills. That's what the doctor told me.
You didn't take it at 6. You took it at 5:30.
No, I took it at 6 because I wanted to know it would be clear at noon. So
well, all I know is
clear.
It hit. As soon as that cab pulled out of the hotel turnaround,
yeah,
you began.
I wanted to leave at like 6:45. Right,
right, exactly.
So it was 45 minutes by the time we got in the cab. So it makes sense.
I'm just on right now. Here we go, going to driving. Well, this is a nice cab.
I was having a great time.
And I looked in the mirror and see the little chalk at the corner of his mouth.
Yeah.
You know, which is indicating.
I told you when I drove him to the airport last Thursday night that I immediately, I had the same thing. I looked at him and I said, you took your pill, didn't you?
All right, right.
Yes.
Well, I tell you what, if they ever need a spokesman, I would do it for free. That is a great product. It truly is. And I've never felt better.
And
really, at that point, really, for me, all I'm hearing is...
It's early and you're
well,
tired.
Well, I'm not drinking and I don't have a pill and I am not. I don't like to fly either. So I just want to put my headphones on, listen to the cockpit. Incidentally, and for every airline, this is just for me, okay? I don't know if there are other phobic flyers that feel like I do. What I like, one of the reasons that I don't like to fly is because I'm not flying the plane myself. They say it's a certain kind of guy that has a fear where you want to be in control and
I'm not crazy.
This is a normal reason people feel, you feel out of control, uh-huh. that you're not controlling your own destiny. It's one of those, it's a little...
This is Sam Huff.
What is that? It's a little complicated.
Very complicated.
The cockpit voice, what are they called? The cockpit voice, not record. I don't want to say recorder, because that's how the plane's going to go down.
Voice from the cockpit?
Voice from the cockpit.
You can plug your headphones in and you can hear what the pilot is
you
saying.
You hear, it's cockpit communications is what it is, and they put it in, and I love it. I wish every plane, commercial jet in the country would do it, because I listen to that, and I do. I listen to that from the minute we take off all the way through, looking out the window.
Retard!
I'm not a retard. It helps me. It keeps me. Was I not calm on that flight?
You had a great flight.
How would you know, though?
I thought he was fine.
Rob's doing his 40th crossword puzzle, you know, in this state of, narcotic haze that he's in. And I tap him on the shoulder because I hear the voice cockpit instruction to bank three to 360 and to turn. I know they're going to turn right. So I tap Rob on the shoulder and I go, right turn. And as soon as I said that, the plane turned right.
I thought he was a mastermind. And we really should real quick thank all the folks at United who really, it was a great flight up and we promised we would.
Yes, everyone at United. We know why. They upgraded Rob.
Right.
So thank you. The lady down there, I don't remember her name.
Me neither, for some reason. I'm good with details.
Yeah. She was one, we charmed her to death. She was a sweet lady.
Her name was Gladys Presley, wasn't it?
It was. Mama.
And Jackie Onassis, our flight attendant.
Yeah, I remember, we decided that 25 years ago, one hell of a piece.
Yes, absolutely. In her day.
Boy.
How often do we say that on planes? Seriously. Seriously, do we say that more than anything else? Like, in her day.
We had a hot waitress on our plane today.
Waitress?
I mean, really. Shapely, blonde.
Really?
Nice looking, smelled real nice.
That's good.
You know, the one that she was with, though, you know, her tag team partner.
Sally
Bullock? Yeah, was like, there's Ballbreaker.
Oh, no.
From Porky's. I mean, it's like, they go out of their way to find one beautiful girl to greet you as you get onto the airplane. And then once you're in a comfort zone, that's when they bring out Broomhilda to say, that will not fit in the overhead compartment. You'll have to check that, please. Listen, you guys, you know, very lucky because you get the hell out of there.
I would not. I don't want to be there the day after the game. If I was going to go to a game, you know, I'm a Giants fan. I would have gone to yesterday's game, but I wanted to get out of town.
Well, you're very lucky you got out of town because we didn't, and I got up on Sunday morning, and, you know, I love going to the game. I love going with Bart. It's our big thing. But I got caught up in all the hype about how bad the traffic was going to be.
Yeah, the traffic down there is horrible.
And the fact that there was going to be no parking.
Right.
So I see at about 9 o'clock on the news that there are people who are selling spots in their front yards down by the stadium, by Raymond James Stadium, which is incidentally like all of Tampa, you know, in a bad neighborhood.
Right. Uh-huh.
So I said to Bart, you finish your homework, because that was the deal, finish your homework before you go to the game. I'm going to go down, scope this out, and I'm going to find someone, and I'm going to get us a spot right by the stadium.
Very good.
So I go down, and it is like squatters. You know those hillbillies who say, because I'm sitting down, I own this property.
There you go.
This is my property.
There you go.
9 o'clock in the morning, I'm going down Dale Marbury Boulevard. I can see the stadium in front of me, and already there's every goddamn Cletus with a big cardboard sign.
Right.
That's, and many of them misspelled parking. A lot of it was P-A-K-I-N-G. Packing.
Baking.
Baking. It went from $5 to $20.
Right.
Some guy had a sign that said parking, $1,000.
Oh, my God.
So I was just driving through this neighborhood, and I saw this grandma standing in front of this house with her daughter, and it was about four blocks from the stadium.
Right.
So I pulled up and I said, hi, how you doing? You going to be selling any parking spots? She said, yes. And I said, showed her my credential. Said, you know, CBS, going to be getting here later. How much would you charge me for your driveway so that I'm positive that I can get in and get out and I won't be blocked? And she said, $50. This was through the interpreter.
Right.
$50. She didn't speak English, so her daughter spoke English. So then I gave her $50, and I said, okay, I'll see you later. Bye-bye.
Oh, no.
And as I drove down the road,
Did you see them laughing?
No, I thought, I'm an idiot.
Right.
I just gave somebody $50.
A stranger.
They don't know who the hell I am.
Right.
I wrote down the address of their house, but I have no way of knowing.
They didn't live there.
they didn't live there.
Right.
But as it turns out...
Were they honest?
Yes, they were.
Good.
And
good.
I called Broyhill on the way to the game, and I said, hey, I'm going to get a cherry spot. As he was, you know, loving it. Oh, you're a dope.
Right.
You gave some lady $50 at 9 o'clock this morning.
For the driveway, though. That's good. Not parking on the grass or anything for their driveway.
What the hell were you thinking? So we made our way through the neighborhood, and we saw the house. Now, the old lady was not in front of the house. Her grandson was there.
Right.
And he said, by this time the price has gone up, he says, I got a spot right here, $250.
Ooh.
You won't get parked in. And I said... I was here earlier. Maybe you remember me. At this point, I'm thinking, oh, my God, I have been taken.
Right.
Thank God the old grandma comes outside. She goes, oh, yes. I moved my car.
Oh, good for her.
So it worked out. So, you know,
so what they were doing is that they were realizing that they were getting more money as the day was going on. But the grandmother remembered your agreement.
Yes.
That's fantastic.
At 9 a.m.
Was she hot?
Oh, so hot. Trey Effable. So hot, Mike.
In her day.
Take Martin Scorsese's mother. That's exactly what this babe looked like.
Beautiful.
Right, absolutely. So once we figured out that we weren't being scammed there, then we realized that because I was paranoid about the traffic all day. Now, keep in mind, I went to the stadium at 9 o'clock in the morning to buy the spot. The game doesn't start until 6:20. I said to Bart, at 1 o'clock, look at this crap on TV where they've got all the helicopters and the roads are jam-packed. And I said, we better go right now. I mean, I really overreacted. I said, we better go right now, 1 o'clock, let's go.
Would you get there about 1:30?
1:40.
That's too
1:40.
Funny.
We pull right up, and again.
See, you're in the city. I mean, we were in the city. So, I mean, that it's people from all the outlying. And they have so many causeways there. They have so many narrow roads that lead into the city. It's a very difficult place to get to because it's surrounded by all that water, and you have to be very careful getting into Tampa.
So we had roughly 5 hours until the game.
Oh,
and the stadium didn't open until 3 o'clock, so we went back to the NFL experience again.
There you go, just to walk around for 3 hours.
Yeah, killed 3 hours walking around.
Oh my God.
Buying, you know, water. Hey, you haven't lived till some guy charges you $5 for water.
You know, it's a true event. There is hype, and then there is the Super Bowl. There is nothing on earth.
No.
Either on television or, you know, when you're at the game that compares to the Super Bowl for hype.
We get in there, and I mean, thank God that stadium has escalators, but we keep looking at our ticket going, section 312, section 312. We keep saying 300s, up.
Right.
We are all the way on the goddamn top of the stadium. Like I told you, 7 rows from the top.
Could you identify players' numbers from where you were sitting?
No. No, we could not. And Bart wanted to rent binoculars.
Which was what, $20 to rent binoculars?
$20 or you leave your driver's license.
Oh, my God.
So, you know, we resigned ourselves to the fact that, listen, we love being at the Super Bowl. We're going to sit here. And then this is when the behind-the-scenes stuff happens. Like, oh, and Kevin James is the shill of all shills for CBS. That he's the guy who's doing the in-stadium announcements. You know, hi, everybody. It's me, Kevin James, from King of Queens. Are you having a good time, Tampa Bay?
Oh, my God.
And, of course, nobody's saying anything, and he's responding. He's going, that's the spirit.
He does it for the network.
Let's hear it now. What do you say, Ravens fans? And again, there's silence, and he goes, good, good, good. How about the Giants fans? How about you, Giants?
Way to go.
And again, you know, nobody's saying anything.
Zippo.
Yeah, it's very similar to this.
I'm Rob Spiewak from the Don and Mike Show on WJFK, and I want to know, are you ready to help our team do a big win over the Giants today? What do you say, fans?
So nobody's paying attention to him at all. Tough gig. And he's having to do this fake enthusiasm. And I don't know how much of the, for instance, Sticks was on TV. Did they show Sticks on TV?
I don't know. I didn't watch the beginning of it. I had band practice.
Did they, oh, yeah. You got to tell us the name of your band in a second.
I will.
We named
the band yesterday.
Wow. They had Sticks sing Come Sail Away. Uh-huh. As a ripoff, because it's not the real Sticks. It's not the real lead singer of Sticks.
Come Sail Away. Come Sail Away.
It's some other guy who sounds like Dennis DeYoung. And as they
what is, you know, really, though, what is Sticks? What about Dennis DeYoung?
Well, they got a guy who...
What, did he? Was he able to do it, pull it off at all?
Yeah, I mean, I guess to the light...
Babe, person. I'm leaving.
Well, he only had to do Come Sail Away. And just
no more regards.
Just as the song really starts rocking, you know...
Right.
Bump, 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 bump. They bring like 500 kids wearing sailor suits out on the field with these hokey boats. And they're boats that are made out of cardboard boxes.
It's a Super Bowl spectacular.
And they're holding these boxes. And
it's
having,
hype. It's excess.
Yeah. It drives me nuts. And they're having a mock pirate fight while Styx is singing, Come Sail Away.
Oh, my God.
And it was depressing. I felt bad for Styx. And then I felt bad for Sting, who looked like he didn't give a crap.
Man, don't feel bad for Sting. So you know Sting's getting money for it.
He was,
you know.
He was there for maybe 4 minutes tops. I don't know if they showed that on TV or not.
Was he doing that?
Yeah, that's the song. He did that song, and then he did Roxanne.
Okay.
And then that was it. And then they... and somebody tell me, on TV, did they F it up so that you couldn't see the stealth bomber fly over the stadium?
You know, I got there really for the player introductions. This is the place where I was watching the Super Bowl. I got there. Rob, did you see it earlier?
I didn't, but according to Tom Shales, what they did is they got a shot of the stealth bomber, but it was a late shot, so you couldn't see it in perspective.
Did you watch the Super Bowl, Buzz?
Only parts of it. I saw the three touchdowns in 36 seconds.
You're the man. Man stays true to his conviction.
Right, yeah, I like that.
I didn't watch the pregame, but according to Shales, that they got a late shot. They didn't get that or the Thunderbirds flying over the stadium, the one shot they would want.
Right.
They screwed that up.
And again, like I said, we were up so high in the stadium that we saw the stealth bomber.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, literally, you know, 10 feet away from us.
Underneath you.
As it flew by. Mm-hmm. And that was cool. And the Thunderbirds came by.
Do they give you oxygen at that part of the stadium?
And then it was time for the player introductions.
Right.
And all through the stadium, they had the mics on. I guess the same thing at home. We heard the guy saying MF-er and
yes.
Come on, you know, don't F with us. This is our effing house and let's go kick some effing A. And this is being, I mean, blasted through the stadium.
The just, NFL.
Just absolutely blasted. And then Kevin James comes back on and he says, now, fans, here's where you get to be a part of Super Bowl history. Look inside.
Oh, hold on, here's the hotline. Hello?
Dad?
Yeah?
I don't think you're being honest. You left out something about the planes.
Bart, I mentioned earlier when I fell down the stairs.
Okay.
When I was looking at the Thunderbirds.
Okay.
All right.
Did he fall hard, Bart?
Yes. Many people laughed at him.
Well, I was taken by this. The Thunderbirds flew by, and I stepped out.
Did you, like, turn around and just, like, yeah. lean back and then
yeah.
go over?
I stepped into the aisle, and as they flew by, I went, wow! And then, boom, down. Frazier goes down.
Oh, my God.
Ouch.
Man.
Frazier goes down.
You got a good look at him going by.
Yeah. All right, bye, buddy.
Bye.
Bye. So, Kevin James announces, you're going to be a part of Super Bowl history. If you look in, they give everybody a seat cushion.
Right.
If you look in the bag in your seat cushion, you will notice there's an Instamatic camera in there. At halftime, with NSYNC and Aerosmith are singing, we're going to show you on the scoreboard, Flash Now. And this is why I love people. Mm-hmm. Kevin James up on the big screen, he says, but remember, don't flash until the screen says, flash now at halftime. And, of course, every mook in the stands gets out the camera.
Right.
And all of a sudden, you see a light bulb flashlight.
Right. Everybody wants to use it.
All going off at the same time.
And once again, that's just a scam by the NFL to keep people in their seats at halftime. Remember, in the past, it's been, you're going to hold up a sign to make a big thing that they can show on television
right.
that they never show. They're just scared that everyone will go to the bathroom and they want to give you a reason to stay in your seat.
But it was so funny that as soon as Kevin James on the big screen said, so remember, don't flash now. Immediately.
Everybody
starts flashing their flashlights.
I love it. That's great. You wouldn't know that if you weren't there. That's cool.
And they also announced, Kevin, again, poor Kevin, who's the huckster.
So right.
The NFL has really gone the extra mile for you. In your seat cushion, find a listening device where you'll be able to hear the radio broadcast from the Ravens, the Giants, Westwood One, Spanish Feed, and CBS TV Audio.
Did it work?
No.
Of course, it didn't work.
It didn't work.
Of course.
Worth dick.
Did your sons work?
No.
Oh, my God.
Nobody's worked.
Wow.
All the people in the stands we were sitting with felt like morons. We got these things plugged in our ears, and we're all holding them out like, you know, when you're trying to get reception on a cell phone?
Right, exactly.
Right? I mean, we're all going like this, trying to hear anything.
Right.
It was impossible to hear.
I think if you had gone down to 10,000 feet, you might have heard.
maybe that would have been better.
Right.
So the game starts, and, you know, we didn't stay for the whole game.
Well, you don't. I mean, you're...
Because then we don't get back to the hotel 3 o'clock in the morning. And,
right.
You know, wanted to see Survivor.
Okay. Sure.
So as soon as...
Hey, you know what I was going to ask you? And this is backtracking. Did you come out of the hotel the night for the fireworks on Saturday night?
No, I was trying to sleep.
I'll tell you, it was the most...
And I heard them.
You know, they... Because of our location, you know. Our location, where our hotel was, I think...
Right by the interstate.
They shot the fireworks off directly over our hotel so that the other hotels could see them. But I'll tell you something. Do you know that those fireworks literally were exploding directly over our hotel?
Sounded like it.
It was amazing, and it was one of the best fireworks displays I've ever seen. I was in bed. I got up, went downstairs to see this, and they did something that I don't remember seeing with many fireworks displays, the false finale, which was one of the neatest things I've ever seen, where they go up and they go, and everybody goes, woo, fantastic finale. And then we're slowly walking back to our hotel rooms, and they do the real finale. And it was terrific. It was one of the nicest things about being down near the tributary where they throw the body.
It sounded great on the top floor when I almost made in my bed. Because it sounded like the Luftwaffe coming in.
It was loud. It was loud. That's the other thing that they insisted on the stadium was piping in all this crap about the Gulf War. I mean, you know, who's not a patriot? I mean, yeah, okay, we kicked ass. It was like for 10 minutes.
Right.
They were running the video of Whitney Houston singing, and they had Norman Schwarzkopf down on the field. And
I mean, that was a great moment when it happened.
Mm-hmm. What was beautiful was while it was happening, while they were running this, I don't know who was running the mixing board, but you could hear the players waiting to be introduced dropping the F-bomb. Like, as Whitney Houston is singing, you would hear a player go, mother effer.
Huh?
Mother effer.
Right.
Mother effer. We have to go kick some F and A. Mother effer. It was
all mic'd.
It was grand.
All mic'd, yes, sir.
It was grand. Hello, Don, on my show.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Hey, buddy.
You kind of stole a little bit of my thunder. We were sitting there, me and my family, my 2-year-old daughter, 5-year-old daughter, and 10-year-old son, and oh, they got all fat, so Sarah Goose up there, and he goes, let's get these MFers. And I looked at my wife, I said, did he just say that? And she goes, I think he did.
Yeah, all the players were
saying. I was totally shocked. And then as far as the planes, you're right.
Did you have good seats?
Yeah, good seat. We had a living room seat.
Oh, living room seat. Oh,
yeah,
I thought you were saying.
We wasn't at the game.
You sounded like you were there, but you heard that on the TV?
Oh, yeah, we heard it live. A couple of players. I mean, it was just like they had the microphones on their jerseys. And I looked at my wife, I go, I can't believe.
You know, I'll give Tony Siragusa credit. He's got the cutest kid award.
Well,
he had the cutest little girl that he was, so that's his daughter, and she was adorable. I mean, it was a special moment to see him.
You should have heard it in
question.
The stadium.
Before you had left for the Super Bowl, you had mentioned that CBS spent a bunch of money for the 3D effects and all that.
Hey, listen, that cannot blow enough.
Oh, it blew big.
It was horrible.
I go, man, that's going to look awesome. And, I mean, we've seen maybe 5 or 6 times, but it blew.
You know, the touchdown where he basically threw the ball over the goal line, where they were overusing it there. I mean, there was no discernible advantage to having that camera.
It was retarded. I mean, I don't know what they was thinking with that. But anyway,
that's CBS for you.
Great show, you guys. I appreciate it.
Thank you, my friend.
Have a good day.
Yeah, bye-bye.
That's another reason that we wanted to leave the stadium. As soon as all the points were scored, as soon as the Giants ran the touchdown back, then the Ravens ran the touchdown back, you said, Bart, let's get out of here. Let's go home. Let's go back to the hotel. Chill out. We've got to get up early in the morning, watch Survivor, and we'll be able to see some of these fantastic replays that we've heard so much about.
Yeah, and, nothing.
Yeah, it sucked.
Yeah. Did you watch Survivor?
I made it halfway through Survivor.
You know, I will tell you, I went into Survivor with a real bad attitude, saying, hey, you know, I like the first one, but the novelty will wear off. I came out of watching Survivor. I am so hooked. I am more hooked than I was on the first one.
I wish they wouldn't have voted out the lady, though.
I love the fact that they voted out that lady.
No, you need people like that.
I know, but it was good riddance. She was a pain in the ass from the word go.
This is going to be a great season of Survivor because one of the people is a singer-songwriter.
And they had a guy guy puking, you know, and he was also the guy that got one of the votes to be voted out.
Right.
The thing about Survivor, and I figured this out, I didn't know this the first time around. I thought it was novelty and it was the people that were involved in it. It has nothing to do with the people that are involved in it. It is a wonderful formula. It really works. And the fact is, I think they could throw anybody in there and it would be okay.
And again, I didn't see the whole thing, but what I saw... Didn't you think some of the people were too professional?
Well, they're much more professional this time. They're much more savvy. They're media savvy. They're better to look at, a lot of them.
Right.
A lot of the women are much better.
Not all of them, though.
But they've got actually a kindly old guy, who's my favorite now, the farmer from Kentucky.
Right.
The farmer / school teacher. Can you get anybody that's born? He had a little tough time. And one of the guys, I think the guys that were one of the super slicky boy muscle men was saying, because he's over 50, we ought to vote him out. We ought to vote him out because he's my new hated guy. I am so into it, and I didn't dream that I'd be into it the second time around. I think it's going to be a runaway hit beyond what it was. People said that it might fall off. I don't think that's
going
to happen.
But you shouldn't have voted out that lady who married her stepson.
She was a pain in the ass.
I know she was, but you need someone like that, because I saw what she was like. This language is offensive to me.
Well, it wasn't that. It's that she was pushy, humorless.
Yes!
And she had no... She just had no business being there.
Fantastic. Who wants to see a show with a bunch of nice, clean, handsome people?
If you had seen it throughout the whole thing, you would probably have been rooting for her, too. The difference between this Survivor and the last Survivor is they were thinking more in terms of physical strength, how they can help the team. On this group, they're already into personality analysis, and that's why the one that everybody hated got voted off last night, and I don't know if that's going to continue. Or
did the one guy say, "Where am I going to J.O.?"
Yeah,
a girl,
Kimmy, the cute bartender, said,
"Where am I going to go masturbate?"
Yeah, Kimmy said that when they were all in the the lean-to in the tent together, and it was a tougher challenge right off the bat. The show, the only difference between this show and the other one, it's got better production value, it's got better camera angles, better locations. I love it.
Don't you think they should have just taken the Super Bowl off at like 9:30?
A lot of people think.
And just put Survivor on.
Absolutely.
And then, because you knew Baltimore was going to win.
Right.
You just run the end of the game after Survivor.
Absolutely. They should have gone. God, I can't believe I forgot to tell you this. The funniest thing about the Super Bowl, and anybody that saw this will tell you, Jim Nantz, the hardest working man in show, the guy whose head is about to explode, Jim Nantz does the post-game ceremony down on the field. Okay?
Right.
Then they said, all right, well, thanks a lot. Congratulations. We'll be right back. Well, this has been the presentation of the trophy. We'll be right back with some post-game analysis on CBS. And then you see him, as they fade the commercial, you see him start to run off the podium.
Oh, because he had to go back and get back on the set.
God, it was the funniest thing, and he comes back, and they say something like, well, you made it back here, and then he's anchoring the covers, and he looks like he's going to bark.
Jim Nantz is CBS's whore.
Oh, absolutely. It's like, we're back. We're going to go to Bonnie Bernstein.
Bigger whore than Kevin James.
I mean, he looks like he's going to, and you know what he's doing, as opposed to just going, I'm really out of breath. Let me tell you, he's trying to control it and not show everyone.
He's masking it.
And he's out of breath, Jim Nantz.
And I've got to credit my father with this. He called me, and if you look at any picture of Jim Fossil upset in the paper today,
right,
as the game progressed, he looked more and more like Beavis. From Beavis and Butthead. And not his hair. You got to look at his eyes, and bear me out, if you find a picture of him, I swear you'll believe me.
Yeah, we got to break. We'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Registered in this class.
What class?
This is U.S. history. See the globe right there.
Really?
Can I come in?
Oh, please. I get so lonely when I hear that third attendance bell ring and all my kids are not here.
Sorry I'm late. It's just like this new schedule's totally confusing. Yeah, I know that, dude.
Mr. Spicoli.
That's the name they gave me.
You're ripping my car.
Yeah. Hey, bud, what's your problem?
No problem at all. I think you know where the front office is.
You dick!
They love to hee-haw with the wrinkled meemaw.
We do.
Don and Mike.
Oh, we do.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, Don and Mike, how y'all doing today?
Hi, buddy. We're doing great, thank you.
Good. I got two questions for you, and I won't keep you long. The first one is, can either one of you do the dance that Ray Lewis did, like pop your body? Can y'all do that?
No.
Can anyone do that other than Ray Lewis?
No. I mean, that was not the most...
Rob says he can.
The most goddamn ridiculous thing that I'd ever seen. You know, you want to think, you're on a national stage. You want to show America that maybe you're not the dick that everybody thinks you are.
No, he doesn't care
right.
about that.
Come out and dance like that.
Yeah, it's something else. But they're the greatest defense in the history of the NFL. I know that because Ray Lewis told me.
Well, you know, the funny thing is President Bush also said, remember now, be role models to kids, and he pops himself like he's having sex.
I saw when they gave Ray Lewis the MVP award, mm-hmm. and he had like one of those Shaggy Doo hats on, you know, a Scooby and Shaggy hat.
Right.
He had it pulled way down over his eyes, and Tagliabue was standing there. First off, Tagliabue looks uncomfortable.
Sure.
Because... Well, he's a white guy. And,
yeah,
and,
right. Well, yeah, I think Tagliabue, I think Tagliabue looks uncomfortable all the time.
But he looked especially uncomfortable because he's up on stage with Ray Lewis and he's having to give Ray Lewis, a guy who just a year ago he said was a thug, he had mm-hmm. to give him the MVP. As he's handing him the trophy, he actually reaches out and pulls on the brim of this floppy, it's like a Gilligan hat.
Okay, right.
That Ray Lewis had on. He actually pulled it up.
Really?
And said, show your eyes. Let's see your eyes.
Oh, Tagliabue did that?
Yeah, let's
wow.
see.
Wow.
Let's see your eyes. Okay. It was an awkward moment, man.
Yeah, well, there were a few of those in yesterday's Super Bowl.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hello, Don and Mike.
Hi there.
Hello.
Hi.
I was wondering about Survivor. Did either of you form an opinion of your favorite rack?
Boy, no. You know, I was watching that show. There's one lady who's got an incredible stomach. Got incredible stomach muscles. I think she's the personal trainer.
Buzz, who's that one that you said?
Kimmy, the bartender, is pretty cute.
She might be
the... She's
the
bartender from,
She's a blonde?
No.
Or like a strawberry blonde?
I don't think
blonde?
So. No, I think her hair's a little darker than that.
She's
like brown.
Here. She's from New York. Like maybe.
Oh, yeah,
Island.
She's obnoxious.
Yeah but she's so hot.
Didn't you find her a little obnoxious?
Absolutely, but...
But isn't the discussion here who had the best rack?
Yeah,
right.
But hot.
But you know what it is sometimes, is it's tough to get by the look. And I don't think she was the best looking one. You didn't get to see all of them.
No, we need time.
For enough time to really form an opinion.
Don't you think there was too much Jeff Probst?
Yes, way too much Jeff Probst. But, you know, really, with the location of the tribal council now, sitting on top of that cliff next to the waterfall, you know, somebody really gets mad at Jeff Probst. You could see him thrown off the top.
Did you see during the game when they had him in a helicopter?
Yes. Yep.
With the big headphones on? Hi, everybody, this is Jeff Probst. Coming very soon, Survivor.
He is the cruelest man in America.
Look at me, Jeff Probst.
I'm Jeff Probst, and now it's time for you to go. Go now. It's time for you. Put out your torch. Go. Go now.
Very similar to Dan Schneider.
Yeah.
When I said to Dan Schneider, hey, do you have a minute to say hi to Mike? And he looked at his watch, and he went... Bring him over. You're like, yeah, your schedule is that tight, Mr. Schneider.
Bring him over.
Bring him over.
Yeah, because it looked to me like he was the one that was walking, you know, working the room and talking to people.
He was.
Mm-hmm.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hey, Don and Mike.
Hey, buddy.
Wondering during the third quarter, when the Giants almost threw an interception, they cut back to the quarterback. Did you have to see him with his finger up his nose digging?
Kerry Collins?
Yeah, he was digging for some nuggets big time.
Kerry Collins has that kind of face where it looks like he probably digs for nuggets a lot.
Uh-huh.
Okay, thank you.
Drum.com.
Bye-bye.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Yeah, did you see the running of the squirrels?
Yeah, I thought it was, you know, it was yeah. like yes, last year's idea.
Generally,
like, some of the dancing fat guys are last year's idea.
None of the spots, I mean, even the one with the guy where he shakes the beer up and gets it all over the girl.
Well, you know what? The timing is everything, and that was the first spot in the game. That was the first spot in the first commercial break in the game, and it was a choice location, and because you didn't see it coming, the first time seeing it was a big laugh. It will not be the same. It's not like "What's Up," which makes you laugh every time you see it. And but the laugh value was there the very first time when he did it. But the running of the squirrels was just like, you know. I know it's all computer generated, and right. you know.
Hey, what about did you see when the space creatures were saying "What's up" to each other?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
See, that's a concept.
That concept's still alive.
That still makes me laugh.
And I did like that. You know, it was clever. Predictable but clever with throwing the shoe up into the tree to get the Volkswagen to
that
come
commercial
out.
Blew.
It was clever though, and you know it was better than what amazed me about most of the commercials is that they there were none. I mean, there were very few really unique and interesting commercials. There are usually a lot more on the Super Bowl.
A lot of people say to me, boy, didn't you love the E-Trade commercial? Where the Vanguard was sitting there?
No, I didn't think
the Matrix
that
commercial.
Funny.
No, and
I like the, you know, I like anything with monkeys.
With the monkey, yes, but
again, it still wasn't that funny.
But again, you and I are biased because we love monkeys.
But even with loving monkeys, I didn't think it was all that great.
I mean, that's what I'm gonna say. What was the point of that spot? I know that a lot of .coms have
invest wisely is
gone out of business
for E-Trade, and that's what it is. You know, it's like you make sure you go with E-Trade because it'll make you a smarter investor. It was all BS.
Yeah. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Bade.
Hey, man.
What do you think?
What's all these downer ads I'm seeing about smoking cigarettes, man?
Oh, how about that? Did you see that one with the guy?
You better Doesn't somebody know the Super Bowl's a party, man?
Yeah, come on.
Hey, man, I don't want to see that downer stuff on my Super Bowl party.
Hey, what do you think about Jeff hanging on the back of the airplane? You think that was him?
It sure looked like him.
Jeff Probst, yes.
You think he was roped in? Or?
Oh, he was attached, yes.
Absolutely.
Sure. He was attached, yeah. CBS has far too much invested in that young man.
Gotcha.
No.
Bye-bye. Hello, Don and Mike Show. Hello?
Hey, Don and Mike.
Yeah, hi.
My brothers, how are you?
Hi, we're doing great, thanks.
Do you hear, my son was telling me a interview with Tony Siragusa that he was talking about Rich Gannon. He was explaining that Rich Gannon was upset that... the hit Tony Siragusa put on him, and he fell on top of him.
All right, goodbye. Hello, Don and Mike Show. Call the show that's on after us.
And not only was that a great story, it was secondhand.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hi, Don and Mike. This is Gladys.
Oh, Gladys.
Hey, listen, I'm giving up my February call.
Gladys, I got the chills today.
It's not February yet.
I'm really ill today.
Pretend it's not me.
No, it's February. It's not February. Yet. No.
Don't
discipline yourself.
Killer
Fader. Gladys, you can't trade ahead. I got your gift. Thank you. March 1st. Goodbye.
No.
You cannot trade ahead.
I just hung up on her.
I'm sorry.
She has to exercise.
This is a I knew that would happen.
Is
that what she was calling about? She said
yes, she sent me a lovely gift for Julia, and I thank her, but that does not get her another call.
Not in my show.
So strict.
Hello. Please, Buzz. She doesn't want to talk to you.
That's true.
Hello.
Is it me?
Yes.
Oh, I'm sorry. Hey, the one thing that peeved me about the movie commercials, they all ended with when they were opening as opposed to what the movie was.
Huh? Come again?
What?
Well, they would show this whole movie ad, and then all of a sudden...
They would have a date.
Opening December 12th. I thought every movie was named opening, you know, March 12th, opening March 5th. And never said the name.
I still don't understand what he's doing.
Okay, we might have the dumbest guy of all callers.
Is this guy just making a point that is not a point?
When they run an ad for a movie...
Yeah?
At the very end, when the screen goes black and it says...
Opening March 12th?
Coming 7/4/01.
Right.
This guy thinks that that's the name of the movie.
But they never said the movie during the commercial. It was like...
Sure they did.
But don't they throw the name of the movie at the end? And then underneath, Joe, yeah. I swear to God, I saw every movie. I don't know what movie was advertised.
Well... let me see if I can explain this to you. You can show a trailer without putting the title per se in a movie trailer, and then give the date at the end of the... And you still have promoted your movie.
And I would imagine that most movies, in a fine print at the end, you know, have, you know, Castaway, you know,
Hannibal.
Monkeys from Mars, whatever the movie is, you know.
But I'm half blitz at a Super Bowl party. I was looking for the title, you know. At the very end of the ad, all I saw was
I'm the last guy that should say this to you, but maybe it's time to, you know, back off on your drinking.
Hey, Mike.
Hey.
Gotcha.
Johnny Hypocrite.
Hello, Don Mike Show.
Hey, Don, Mike.
Hey, hi.
Do you guys, you know that monkey commercial with the tear and all that? Don't you remember back in the 70s when the Indian was on the side of the road and all the trash was being thrown
out? I guess we're getting a real cluster of dumb guys calling in.
Yeah, we understand the concept.
Okay. You just stacked a tent of dumb on the radio there.
No, hold on.
We said we didn't like the commercial. I knew what they were going
to. Duh.
You moron.
Hey, moron.
Oh, come on, you're the idiot.
Well, hey, you know, you were talking on the radio, so I figured I'd just say, call in and say, hey, you know, just...
And that, you know just something? That was your mistake.
Yeah, I know. All right, later.
Fucking say, Oron May. Really, like...
God.
God bless you.
Really, it's like, very difficult when, you know, when someone calls with something that we already knew.
How could you possibly think that we didn't understand the concept? We were just saying...
What's the name of that Indian chief that did the litter commercial? What was his name?
I'm Chief, Chief Lick-a-Lock... Chief Lick-a-Lock-a-Lock-a-Puni.
Well, I was in a room with a bunch of kids. I had no idea what that was about.
Yours is better. Lick-a-Lock-a-Puni.
But yes, of course, everybody knows that. That was,
you know, okay. But you know something? That was not central to the theme of the commercial at all. Because, you know, you got a large segment of the audience that aren't old enough to understand that reference either. You know, the whole thing was, I just thought it was lame. It wasn't as good as some of the other ones.
And thank you for explaining it to us.
Hey, you're welcome. Anytime.
Okay.
Yeah, do you think it makes it funnier when you explain it that way?
No.
Thank you.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Another friend made.
I'd love to breathe on you right now. Give you some of whatever I got inside me.
Give him some of the virus.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Is it that way?
Hello.
Hello.
Please turn your radio down.
Bye.
They come in clusters. They come in clusters, really. The idiot callers come in clusters.
This is like being back down in Ybor City on Saturday night.
Absolutely.
With Wendell. Hello?
Hello?
Yes, how may we serve you?
Hey, how you doing, guys? I was just calling to tell you, don't you think Elizabeth is a fine piece of ass from Survivor?
I don't know. I don't know which one she is.
Do you know which one's Elizabeth? There's several really hot women on there.
She's the 23-year-old footwear designer from Newton, Massachusetts.
Yes, sir. She is my favorite. You're absolutely right. Yes, she is. She is my favorite.
She's a very fine piece.
And she's also, I think, she's also, I like her personality the best, too.
Gotcha. But, Mike, hey, you don't have the personality. Thank you.
And she wore some funky headgear for the travel council.
Hello, Don and Mike.
Yeah, I wanted to say something on the air about the smoking commercials.
Yes.
Yeah, I wanted to say that, isn't it funny that that's the time where everybody would be outside smoking is when they're showing the Don't Smoke commercials?
That's interesting logic.
Okay. I'll give this guy some credit.
That's tough to find fault.
This guy did noodle it through. Because they ran it right at the very end of the game.
Yeah, and that would be probably when
guys are out on the deck.
Yeah, going to light up. Right.
Right.
Exactly.
But hey, man, what a downer.
Yeah. During your party.
Not during my Super Bowl party. Not during my XXXV bash, man. Please. That's a hassle. Thank you.
Thank you.
Goodbye. We have to break. We'll come back. A couple more phone calls. I do want to get the name of Mike's band.
Yeah, we're getting the band back together.
And the hypnotist is here. So we'll get to all of that in just a moment.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
I'm mad. I am mad enough, and yet still very self-conscious, but I'm going to write a book, and I'm going to talk. I wanted to believe, and I tried my damnedest to believe in the rainbow that I tried to get over, and I couldn't. So what?
The mayors of Connyland, Don Geronimo and Michael Mara.
We were doing that a lot this weekend down in Tampa Bay.
Yeah, people would get frightened when we would do it, too. Rob and I did it on the plane yesterday.
So what?
I tried my damnedest.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
You know, Don and Mike, 40 makes me sick, man.
Is it?
He's coming on your show falling like he's about it. The Don and Mike symbolizes the greatest DJs ever. Now, he may be able to fool you guys, or he even may be able to fool these stupid people that you got calling your show, but you ask anybody. Better nigga is the man who is the best caller. Better nigga is the man who could trick me with the 40. Better nigga has the power that even your punk ass promoters don't. And Ben a nigga is immortal, and he will live forever.
BN. BN.
BN.
BN.
You.
BN.
To my, try to take my power and my glory. Listen.
Hey, BN.
He chose one thing, but his marriage is on borrowed time. I promise you that.
BN. BN, hello.
He's gone.
Stop speaking about yourself in third person.
He's gone like the wind.
I don't know, that was some kind of diatribe from BN.
He doesn't like Mr. 40.
No, he doesn't.
No.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hi, I'm calling from New York.
Hi.
Oh, Mike, this is that kid.
What
you know the little kid from New York who calls us?
Yes.
No, it's not me.
Yes, it is.
It's that some other kid. Anyway, I know you're...
All right. Goodbye. Deleted that out.
Goodbye, kid.
Hello. Call back when you have pubic hair.
Thank you. And kids aren't allowed to call. We're not changing that rule.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Don and Mike.
Unless we fathered them.
Right.
Hello.
And that happens occasionally.
Mike?
Yeah?
This is Mike Landis.
Mike, how are you?
Happy 2001.
Hey, same to you. Happy New Year to you, Mike Landis. How's Morris Jones doing?
He's doing great. What are you doing?
What are you doing?
Whoa.
They stole your idea, you guys.
Oh, I got you right.
Hey, I wanted to tell you, I was supposed to sing at the George Bush thing.
Were you really, Mike Landis?
I was going to sing with Van Halen.
From Fox 5.
I was going to sing with Van Halen.
Yeah?
I was going to do that song, Right now. Mike, I love you guys.
Mike Landis, everyone.
This is, incidentally, one of the calls that we take that's only funny to two people in the world.
That's right.
Me and Mike.
Absolutely.
Oh, everybody loves Mike Landis.
Mike Landis. So. Rob said three.
Three.
Right now.
Okay, goodbye.
Bye-bye.
Right now.
Bye-bye.
Love you.
Love you.
Love you, too.
Goodbye. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Yeah, Don Mike.
Yes, we are. Hi.
Yeah, it's Clint from Sacramento.
Yes, hello, Clint.
Hey, I think they put BN and 40 on the island. What do you think?
What, on Survivor?
Yeah.
Come on, Clint, you're thinking too much. Thank you.
Don't do that, it'll hurt.
All right, now listen, here we go. Rowdy, give me some football music.
Okay.
Because we actually have, you know, our station in Baltimore is the flagship station.
Right.
For the Baltimore Ravens.
Mm-hmm.
And I know last week we tried to have the mayor of Baltimore on with us.
Right.
Joining us now is the head coach of the world champion Baltimore Ravens.
I'm good.
Brian Billick.
Hello?
Brian, how are you?
How you doing, and Mike, Don and Mike, how you doing?
Brian, how does it feel?
Good. It feels good.
A lot of hard work finally pays off, huh, Brian?
Yeah, it finally pays off.
How did you prepare your team for Super Bowl 35?
Very good.
Who is your quarterback, Brian?
Don Geronimo.
Now, please, you're a kidder. No, really, how did you prepare your team?
Very good.
You're flattering me. Now, really, who's the quarterback for your team? You know his name, right? His first name is Trent?
Trent Green.
Trent Green, that's correct.
That's right. And who's the player who plays for your team who was in trouble with the law last year?
I don't know.
The first name is Ray.
Ray Tasinski.
That's right, Ray Tasinski. Right. Uh-huh. Is there any way, Coach, could you spell championship for us?
C-H-A-N-P.
Champ.
He has been going for a while.
Champ.
So how does it feel, Coach Billick? How does it feel to be on top of the world?
Good.
Good. Good. What's the first thing you did when you came back to Baltimore?
We flew on a plane, came in at Baltimore National Airport.
Yeah.
Got off the plane, got to our buses, went back to the stadium.
I bet you banged Mrs. Billick hard last night, huh?
Yes, we did.
You gave Mrs. Billick the high hard one?
Yes, I did.
That had to be good.
Did you give it to her in the bad place?
No, I gave it in the good place.
Good for you, Brian.
Do you do that a lot, Coach?
No, I don't.
You don't?
Hey, Mike, say magic.
What's that?
Say magic, Mike.
Magic.
Hey, guys. How you doing, guys?
Hey, it's Tom Gavin. Tom, I want to tell you, we really thought it was Brian Billy from the Baltimore Ravens.
You got tricked, didn't you?
You did.
We did. Have you ever been stopped on the street as Brian Billick?
No, I have not.
Well, you are a dead ringer for Brian Billick.
Yeah, and if they ever stop you and say, "Are you Brian Billy?" you should just roar at them.
Anybody out there who wants to see what a dead ringer Tom is for Brian Billick should go to, what's your website, Tom?
TomGavin.com.
Gotcha.
Everybody's out there listening. The T-shirts are in. The T-shirts up on the website. Go to it and buy one.
Tom, you'll have to bring us down some.
I'm going to. When can I come down?
Sometime soon.
All right. John or Phil might bring me down. Phil's out there, or John, please call Charlie.
Right. Gotcha. All right. Thank you, Tom Gavin.
Yeah!
Bye.
Tom Gavin
playing Brian Billick.
Bye-bye. There he is.
The role of Brian Billick will be played by Tom Gavin.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
This is me.
You know, is there anything that is more annoying than someone who waits on hold, hears the click of the telephone, and the first thing they say is this me?
You're the only one that can answer that, sir.
I suppose so. I want to talk to Don about his highly abnormal sex life.
I suppose.
How is my sex life highly abnormal?
Well, you said yourself you've only got two positions to choose from, right? You won't take it.
Are you eating?
Mind.
Sir, are you eating something?
Pardon?
Are you eating something? There's noise. There's extraneous noise in the background.
Negative.
I do not enjoy having sex where poops come out.
You know what he was telling me the other day, though? You know what he really... One of the things that he really enjoys is having sex with your mama.
Well, that's cool.
Yeah, that's cool. Who doesn't have sex with your mom?
Well, really, what I actually called to find out is if...
This caller doesn't get phased about it anymore because so many people have had sex with his mother.
Come on, what do you want?
Exactly. You don't give or receive oral either, huh?
I don't give or receive oral? What show are you listening to? What man doesn't love receiving oral?
Yeah!
I love receiving oral.
And he's gone. And he's gone like the wind.
Okay.
Well, he should have been in the last cluster.
Bye-bye. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Don and Mike, what's up, buddy?
Hey, my friend.
Was the best commercial not the Bud Light commercial with the guy throwing the pencils in the ceiling?
Nope.
No, I didn't think it was a good one.
You didn't think it was a good commercial?
No.
I like Cedric the Entertainer.
Oh, come on now.
I do.
Come on. Hey, Robbie, give me a symphony. I forgot. We're going to announce the name of Mike's band.
Oh, yeah.
Are you ready, Mike?
I am ready.
For the first time anywhere.
We had our second rehearsal yesterday. We expanded our playlist.
What songs are you practicing now?
I don't remember.
Come on, what did you play yesterday?
We played, Taking Care of Business.
When do we get a tape?
Mustang Sally.
When do we get a tape?
We, never. Well, you get a tape when we're ready. When we're ready. You know, I will only give you a tape when I think we're ready and then be completely shot down when you mock it. But I will give you a tape when I think that, you know, we've reached our peak, which should be sometime this spring.
And the name of the band? And I applaud you. This is a great name for a band.
I came up with this on my own. I'm not even sure whether the rest of my bandmates are going for it, but I said to them that that is what I will be calling the band. The name of our band is Crap. Thank you. Just imagine that. Our first gig. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. We're Crap.
Yeah, thanks a lot.
How are you? We're
Thank
crap.
You. And, Thank you. We're going to be doing some Journey ballads for you tonight. We're going to be doing some great England Dan and John Ford Coley tonight.
We'll be opening for several events at Nissan Pavilion. Yes, we'll be on a stand next to the beer concession shop.
We'll be on the beer garden, the Booty Blues. Well, congratulations on the formation.
Do you approve of the name?
Yeah, as a matter of fact... I think it should be, since you're the name.
Mike O'Mara's Crap.
Yeah.
I think that'd be, you know, I don't want to alienate my bandmates, you know.
You know what? No. It always happens, though.
Right.
It started out
Let
being...
Let me just tell you, you know...
It started out being the Silver Bullet Band.
Right.
It ended up being Bob Seger and the Silver Bullet Band. Mm-hmm. Why not just take that step out?
You know, I'll tell you, if things go well...
Mike O'Mara's Crap.
And we go into a second season, you know, and I'm still driving that band... Rhythm section extraordinaire.
Hey, we're Crap, everyone. Come on. It's got to be Mike O'Mara's Crap.
Well, no, it can't be until we get established, and then yeah. I think maybe I'm not gonna put the kibosh on the.
You're the name.
Yeah, I know, but
you're the name.
But I'm not the talent. You see, I'm just an amateur musician.
Who's gonna come see Crap? But who wouldn't come see Mike O'Mara's Crap?
Let me give it some thought. I'll get back to you on that one. But you know, I just don't want to be too egotistical. Good evening. I'm Mike O'Mara, and this is my Crap.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hi. And now, ladies and gentlemen, please welcome to the Bottle and Cork, Mike O'Mara's Crap.
Hey, you know, I'll take it under advisement. You know,
right, cool.
But Crap will be, you know, still in rehearsal for the rest of the winter. And, you know, we're shooting for a spring gig or two. As a matter of fact, we're not going to play anywhere, but where do we play golf?
Oh, you're going to play at your golf club?
Yes, and it's private. I see, I've done that. That's by design, you see. That's so the public will never be able to see Crap.
Oh, but you got to bring us a tape of Mike O'Mara.
I will definitely. I tell you, when we are ready, I will bring you a tape of Crap.
Mike O'Mara's Crap.
When we have our first real gig. which is really not a real gig. We're just playing for a party of friends.
Because, Mike, remember it started out as the Four Seasons.
Right.
Then it was Frankie Valli
of the Four Seasons.
Right.
Well, if it does become successful and I have to use my own name to branch out on my solo career, where I just play the drums and don't sing.
But then those guys need you. It's Michael Maris Crap.
Well, I'll see what we can do about that.
You got 15 years of name recognition in this market alone.
I want to get this band sound right where I want it, and then once it's there, maybe, you know. Hey, how are you? I'm Michael Mara, and this is Crap. It's walked all over it.
Hello, Dewey Beach.
Jack wouldn't have done that.
How you doing? Give it up for Mike O'Mara's Crap.
Our playlist is somewhat of a hodgepodge.
Really?
I know how to.
Shocker.
I know. Yes. Usually three chord songs that have an easy beat.
What's the most modern song that you play in Mike O'Mara's Crap? What's the most contemporary piece of music?
One Way or Another by Blondie.
Hey. Okay, 20 years old.
Thank you very much. No, we have kind of a bluesy sound. Michael Mara, this is Crap. I'll get it when we have our next. We're taking a little hiatus because we're all amateurs and everybody has to make a living. So, you know, our Sunday afternoons for two weekends in a row are going to be, we put the kibosh on them. After the next rehearsal, I'll have a full, like, list of songs that we're going to be doing. And we're not going to just have one gig. We're actually going to try to get another gig. And John Pop's got to call me because I need a keyboard player.
Right.
And John's guy will be a guy that's played in, like, real bands, right?
He'd be a perfect addition to Mike O'Mara's Crap.
We think, all of us in Crap, think that
Mike O'Mara's Crap.
It's not going to. Now, listen, I told you I would take it. I know you are, but it's not right now. I can't do this without consulting the band. You know how the band works,
man. Deborah, Harry, and Blondie.
Yeah, it was Blondie first. Mm-hmm. And we haven't even had our first gig yet.
What you need to do, Mike, is break away and bill yourself as Mike O'Mara of Crap.
Oh, boy.
Wouldn't that be something?
You know, I'm playing the humility thing.
Mike O'Mara with Crap.
Mike O'Mara with Crap.
With Crap.
Boy, you know, I'm going to have to ask the band, but I love that.
Tonight at the Bottle and Cork, Mike O'Mara with Crap.
It's always the Bottle and Cork.
It's always the Bottle and Cork.
It's Dewey Beach.
And I look forward to the tribute album, saluting Crap.
All Crap all the time.
Crap-tacular.
A Crap weekend. Can you imagine if ever got to be that?
And then when you get to be too popular, mm-hmm. radio stations will do a no-crap weekend.
Right.
Like they did with the Bee Gees, where radio stations came out and said, we are not going to play any Bee Gees records this weekend, man.
How about a crap prospective?
That'd be good, and we could bring out the tribute band, Crap Mania.
Think about it.
That'd be the road show.
That's right.
Be Mike fantastic. O'Mara's Crap.
I sure like Mike O'Mara with Crap, but I, you know, I don't want to alienate the players.
Hey,
some of us have just met.
That's the players.
No, man, don't hate. Mike, don't you be dissing my band.
Listen, it's Ringo Starr's all-star band.
Yeah, well,
okay.
I know, I understand that, but you understand there are
Mike
lots...
O'Mara with Crap.
Lots of egos.
Mike O'Mara, all caps.
Right.
With
mm-hmm.
small letters.
Crap.
Crap, even smaller letters.
You know, you're playing on my ego, and you're starting to crack that foundation right now, and you know how big it is, and boy... I sure would like that. Well, you know, it would look great on the album cover.
It sure would.
Mike O'Mara with Crap. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to... Oh, and our we have a logo.
Do you really?
Yeah, Crap has a logo.
What is it?
A smiley face.
Bad move.
Why?
Bad move.
It's up for negotiation. What do you suggest? I was thinking, you know, like,
a picture of, like, you know, that fake dog poop that you buy in novelty stores.
Well, I don't want to hit people over the head with crap.
Why?
It's the symbolism of crap, you know. It's basically so when we start, we can say, good evening, we're Crap.
Mike O'Mara with Crap.
Mike O'Mara. Well, we'll see.
I can't do that. Your first album should be called Crapload.
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 Mm-hmm.
Crapload.
We know our crap.
Right.
That's when we're going to send the tape. I thought you'd like the smiley face idea. Just, you know, it's subtle. It's subtle, you know. Because it's just the smiley face and then crap.
Yeah. You know, it's your band.
It's not my band.
It's your band.
I am not the band leader.
I'm telling you, if if I...
I'm not a musical person.
I would
I am
be
a
humbled,
drummer.
I would be humbled if you would ask me to assist you in the management of this band. And I would be glad to meet the members of the band and explain to them the hierarchy. To say, listen...
Like you'd basically be doing my dirty work for me?
You are nobody. You are nobody. You are nobody. This man is crap.
All right. Let me tell you something right now. That would be a lecture I'd want to see. When it becomes necessary, because you know, you're massaging that ego so well right now. When it becomes necessary for me to make it Mike O'Mara with crap, I'm going to let you do the dirty.
Let me be your George Martin.
That'd be fantastic. I'll arrive late to the rehearsal. You'll show up in my place and say, listen, gather around. Look, we're going to make some changes around here. And, you know, not everybody's going to go for it. No. So, I mean, we'll probably have to cut a few people loose.
Oh, you can always find more people to be crap.
But right now, you know, I think it might be a real good idea for me to know all the names of the band members. Hey, Mike O'Mara with crap.
More names. I think Crap is one of them. Mike O'Mara's Crap.
Crap is, yes.
Golden Boy's not bad.
Golden Boy?
Because you're the Golden Boy.
Golden Boy.
And what about if you just called it Harvey?
Harvey.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Jack Diamond.
Thank you very much. Yeah, I suppose. But Crap is it.
No,
you know,
Crap's a winner.
Yeah. You know, we went with Crap.
You can't go wrong with Crap.
Well, I'm glad you like the name, and I'll keep you advised as to the progress of Crap, and I will furnish a tape for your entertainment.
Please do.
When the time comes.
Please do.
Very good.
Crap featuring Mike O'Mara.
Man, I like it. I like it a lot.
Mike O'Mara in big letters. Crap, small letters.
Mike O'Mara with Crap. Crap featuring Mike O'Mara. Mike O'Mara's Crap.
I mean, listen, think about it, baby.
Mike O'Mara and Crap.
Think about it. That's all I'm asking.
It's exciting to me.
It's an exciting time to be a member of Crap.
It's exciting, to, you know, because Crap is right on the floor now.
But don't forget, I'll tell you something.
Yes.
And please don't take this the wrong way.
I won't. You know I won't.
You are Crap.
Thank you, Don.
You are. Man, there, now you, there is no Crap.
You know, 15 years and you can still throw me a compliment. I tell you, and I appreciate it.
You're Crap.
I know you mean it. I know you mean it from right here.
Crap is you.
I am Crap.
Without you... There is no Crap.
I'm not going to sit here and deny it. I'm really not. I'm really not going to sit here. You know, I could be phony, you know, humble.
Don't
but
be.
Why do that? You're right. I am Crap.
You are.
I am indeed.
Mike O'Mara is Crap.
Thank you all very much.
Check it out at the Bottle and Cork, Dewey Beach, this weekend. Those, we got to break and bring that crazy hypnotist in.
Crazy.
I think he's going to hypnotize Lisa or something like that. So please stay tuned. We'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Live. For instance, every man in this room is hiding some porno in his house. Every man in here got a pornography stash in the crib. Not an illegal amount, just enough to get you by. And when we hide porno, we go all out. It ain't behind the refrigerator or under the bed. No, we become Batman when it's time to hide some porno. That's right. You hit the light switch, the whole bookshelf shift to the side. Stairs at the porno cellar. Janet Jack me, yes. Toby Kai, Dina Jameson, that's right.
Clown porn aficionados, Don and Mike.
All right, I'm just finishing up the questions for Lisa tomorrow. We're sending her to the Ravens Championship Parade in Baltimore.
Right. Hey.
And, oh, come on in, Gary. Come on, here's Gary Conrad.
Hello, Gary. Yeah, how are you? Good to see you.
Assist.
Oh, thank you.
We loved having this guy on the show, I don't know, a year or so ago.
Yeah. I'm always a little scared when Gary comes in here because, you know, you always think he's going to look at you and, you know, do something. Yeah.
Oh, there I'm out. I'm under. It's great.
Yeah, you agreed to volunteer the next time I was on.
I did?
Yeah, I
don't know. No, absolutely not. It won't be happening, Gary.
I think we have two subjects for you today.
Oh, cool.
One subject is Lisa, who I don't think was working with us the last time you came by.
Okay.
And the other subject is our engineer, Wendell Hall.
Wendell, yeah, I heard about Wendell.
Wendell Hall.
Wendell Super Bowl fame.
Now, you're just here just because you're in town?
Well, I went up to watch the Super Bowl with my buddies in Jersey.
Gotcha.
And that took about 10 minutes. Drive back down. I'm living in South Carolina now, so.
All right, well, I was happy to hear that Charlie had booked you. And I said, well, what's Gary pushing? He says, Nothing. Just coming by because we love him. He's a good hypnotist.
Just coming by to hang out and hypnotize somebody.
Inner and hypnotist. Speaking of, there was a bit of controversy after you were on the show.
Uh-huh.
That you made Buzz do a whole bunch of stuff that was not Buzz's personality, and, you know, we were falling on the floor.
Uh-huh.
Well, the next day, Buzz says he wasn't really hypnotized.
Now, we believe that Buzz was hypnotized, and based on the zeal with which he did what you told him to do.
Yeah, he did a great co-sell, as I remember.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, that's absolutely. Right.
And he did Paul Harvey.
Yeah.
And he did a bunch of other stuff that is very out of character for Buzz. And he said the next day, he started a bit of an S-storm on the show because he said I wasn't really under. He said I was just doing what I thought you guys wanted me to do.
Mm-hmm. Good.
Okay. So you maintain that Buzz was under?
Yes.
You think absolutely. So? Okay.
He's a keeper.
He's a keeper.
Really? You think he's
like
a keeper?
I like the show.
Okay.
Really?
Oh, God.
You ever do remotes like that? Let me know.
All right, man.
Yes.
Let's bring in Lisa and Wendell, and let Gary meet each of them. I'm telling you, if you didn't hear the show a couple of years ago when Gary put Buzz under,
right?
We really were peeing our pants.
It was pretty damn funny.
He had Buzz doing some wacky stuff.
Whoa! What an upgrade with this show.
Lovely, isn't it?
Yeah, Lisa's just...
Hey, speaking of a Buzz.
Yes. Hi, Lisa.
Hi.
Hi. Now, what questions do you have to ask her? I mean, to find out if
just
she...
Just yes or no, that's all.
Oh, wow, he is attracted to you.
Gary. Bada-boom.
Gary, tell poor Lisa you're not going to do anything.
No, we're not going to do anything.
Unsavory.
Unsavory, right now.
How do you tell if she's the type of person who has the personality who would be...
See how she folded her arms, so right away she's defensive. So that
I'm cold.
Well, we can fix that too.
That would be nice. Any chance you can get her to?
Are you sure you don't want to join us?
Gary Conrad, the horny hypnotist.
No,
I've done it already.
Could you get her to take her shirt off?
Maybe not here.
Oh, God. All right, and our other
subject. Rapidly going downhill. This is a decline.
Our other subject for you is our engineer.
Hello, engineer.
Wendell Hall. Right. We love him.
Wendell Hall, baby.
Now, if
Wendell... Super Bowl fame. I was listening about his stories on the way.
Sure.
We have him reprise how he acted on at Super Bowl time.
Oh,
so
that would
everyone
be...
could do it.
Because
he did some great laughters, but I want to hear the original.
Oh, my.
Oh, you know what?
Yourself,
that's
Wendell.
A great idea, yeah. Gary. That if you get Wendell to really laugh for us, like he did, laugh the way he did the other night in the car, that would be fantastic.
All right, so you're going to leave now and prep them. How long will it take you to prep them?
It depends on, you know, their focus or concentration, the alacrity with which they want to do this and all that good stuff.
All right, well, get out of here.
Okay.
Take him in the other room. Thank you.
See you later, kids.
Thank you, Wendell. I'm telling you, even though Buzz maintains he wasn't under.
Funny.
I'm telling you.
Gary's funny. I remember that about him.
Buzz was under. Geez, he had the hornies for Lisa, right?
The thing about Gary, though, where he differs from other hypnotists, you know, so many of these guys are like, hello, I'm the amazing Blackstone. I'm going to... He doesn't do that, but he's very confident in his abilities. And I think back to our discussion with you, and I know that... What you had said is you weren't doing anything you didn't want to do.
Well, but that's typical.
I think he had you under in some regard, Buzz, because it was... I remember the way you did it.
You were so out of control, Buzz, and you're never out of control like that.
I didn't want to let anybody down that day. Remember, when I first told you that I didn't think I was hypnotized was that night after we were off the air.
Right.
And then the next day, you encouraged me to say on the air what I had told you the night before.
No, I'm all for the truth.
Right.
And I think that you think... That's
what I said.
The truth.
But if you'll remember, the next day, to try to prove or disprove this, you had me redo some of the Howard Cosell, the Ethel Merman, the Paul Harvey, and I replicated them on the air the next day.
Did he? I don't remember that.
He did. It's just when you were doing it, there was a look on your face that I had never seen before. And I'm saying this to you because I remembered it. I remembered how significant it was. You had a look on your face. And I think you, more than anybody else, when they come back in here, I want your opinion as to whether you think that they're under. Because I want you to see it on the other side.
Right.
And maybe we're going to get...
Fair.
And, you know, we're going to be watching them carefully because I want to see if we've got the same looks that Buzz had on his face, and it's this kind of, it, not a glassy eye, but it's just like, I will do anything I am told. Yeah.
What I'm looking forward to is to see how Wendell did, because Gary took three of us backstage last time he was on the show, and I don't remember who the third party was, but it was myself, Wendell, and one other person.
Oh, he couldn't do Wendell last time.
He wasn't able to do Wendell last time. Now, he's going to go for something different with Wendell this time, so maybe this will work. Who knows?
Maybe Wendell's still got enough alcohol in him that he'll be more susceptible to opening up whatever doors are inside.
Absolutely.
The subconscious of Wendell Hall.
Very, very cool.
Be the guy to watch.
It'll be interesting to see what happens.
Yeah. All right, so Gary's in the other room hypnotizing Lisa right now. And goddamn, wow, did he get aroused?
Yes.
As soon as Lisa came in the room.
He did. It's like, whoa, upgrade, hey.
Don't you think that he looks a little like Hef?
Yes, he does.
In the face?
He's like a younger, blonder Hef.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Like a combination of Hef and Jim Fossil.
Now, what's he do? Does he go around the country, like, performing, or does he...
He goes to comedy
shows. Teacher, right? Or what? You know, it's like, I was wondering... It scares me when a hypnotist, you say, what can we plug for you? And he said, oh, you know...
He's a performer. He does shows.
I think the last time he was here, he was going to be in quite a few of our affiliate cities. He was going to go by Buffalo, and go by Green Bay, and go down to South Carolina. And I think that this time, frankly, he's just, oh, now they brought some pictures of him with famous people. Here he is right here, hypnotizing Tony Bennett.
That's how that went.
There he is with Tony Bennett. Here he is with some dude up on stage. And he's making him take off the shirt and dance.
There you go. He's got the tuxedo on there.
Yeah, he sure does. Yeah, he's a dead ringer for half of these pictures.
Yeah, he is. Just really excited. We're going to have the bunnies. We'll be gathering. I have my brother, my twin brother, my younger brother, excuse me, Gary Conrad.
Are they going to be in the grotto?
They'll be in the grotto shortly before they make their way down to the grotto. Gary will be hypnotizing them, and then they'll, you know, make their way into the grotto, and they will begin Alessio. I'm very excited about
Gary. I love when you say grotto.
The grotto will be filled with bunnies, all various sizes. We've got, this is Heather. Heather, come on over here. Heather and this is Lisa. We've got Bambi over here, Bubbles over here. They've all have recently had implants. We love having them in the grotto.
In the grotto.
Fantastic job. I'm happy this is my younger brother, Gary Conrad, the hypnotist.
All right, well, he's trying. Buzz, how long did it take?
About 20 minutes or so last time.
All right, well, then we'll move on with the show. Oh, listen, I start to tell you. So I got a list of questions for Lisa to ask. Mm-hmm. People, they're expecting anywhere between a half million and a million people tomorrow
right
at the Inner Harbor for the Ravens parade.
Good.
For winning the Super Bowl. The first question is, may I ask ye a few questions for Ravens Radio?
Okay. Since,
the fact is...
Technically, we are Ravens Radio in Baltimore. That's our station.
That's our station. Now, Rob Mix, my first question. Who let the dogs out?
Why?
Well, because, you know, the boy and I had a conference, and he says, and I think he might be right, you get a lot of yahoos down there who would just immediately start screaming, the Ravens! The Ravens let the dogs out!
Right.
So we've nixed that. Mm-hmm. The second question will be, are you a native Baltimorean?
Mm-hmm.
Describe the excitement here today. What do the Ravens mean to you?
Okay.
And now we're going to get to the fun questions. Uh-huh. MVP Ray Lewis just kills me. He's so talented. Don't you think? I think he's worked because it's Lisa asking the question.
Right, right.
It's a hot girl.
Uh-huh.
Would you like to say thank you to Ravens owner Robert Irsay?
That's a good one. I like it when we include the mistake in the question. That's always very humorous.
Do you now or have you ever had syphilis or gonorrhea?
Thank you. I was hoping. I was waiting. I didn't want to jump in there.
Which
I was
one?
Hoping you'd have there. All right.
And then finally, repeat after me. Bromo Seltzer Tower. Polak Johnny. English's Fried Chicken. Domino's Sugar Factory. Boog's Barbecue. Art Donovan. Mayor Schmoke.
How about right on?
All right.
Yeah, you want to ride on?
Right on one. Right on. And you know what, Rob?
Yeah?
Yeah. Make number nine, who let the dogs out?
Okay.
I mean, make it the last question.
The question's just funny.
Yeah.
And finally...
It'll be really funny if we get the total confusion by the question.
Yeah.
Who let the...
What?
No, I think Rob was probably right in that regard.
Yeah, the dogs go, Ravens!
Ravens.
Ravens let the dogs out.
Ravens.
Hello. Who let the dogs out? Oh, come on. Come on. Let all those dogs out.
Well, Father, thank you for your valuable time as you celebrate the Ravens.
Well, that's
Robert Irsay is my favorite.
Yeah. Right on.
Well, tomorrow, the big parade, of course, and yeah. This will be right in the middle of it.
Supposed to be at least warmer than it's been.
Mm-hmm.
Supposed to be in the mid-50s. Right.
Pouring rain.
Lots of pouring rain.
Right. Be perfect out there.
She'll be down there with the tape recorder, all of us tape for broadcast from your Ravens flagship station,
Ravens Radio.
WJFK.
Right on, Mr. Modell.
Right on. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hey, go ahead, Mike. How you doing?
Hello, Dennis.
Hey, Mike.
Yes, Dennis.
Hey, you need a Campbell replayer?
No. 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 No.
Oh, okay.
You know what? Remember when Don said no to you that time?
Yeah.
Oh, that time when I screamed at him and actually lost my voice
for
a couple days?
I don't want to scream right now, but no.
Okay.
Well, stay away.
Hey, can I promote where I'm going to be in 2 weeks?
Sure, Dennis.
I'm going to do a radio show from Iowa.
You're going out to Iowa again?
Yeah, I'm going to do a love show.
Oh, that's right. He's doing a Valentine's Day show.
Yeah, it's going to be Saturday, February 17th.
At one of our affiliates. Which one? KCJJ?
KCJJ. It's going to be from 7 to midnight, Central Standard Time.
Gotcha. All right, Dennis. We'll listen for you then.
Hey, Mike.
Yes, Dennis?
The Bud Light commercial with that guy and a girl.
Yes.
Did you like that one?
Yes, I did.
I just bust the gut.
There we see. You and I both have the same comedy eye.
Hey, we do, Mike.
And we have the same itchy eye.
It should be Lucy and Lola.
Yes, Dennis, if it was up to me,
yeah.
You'd be in crap.
I'm not crap.
I know you are.
Oh.
I mean, I know you do.
Oh.
I know you are crap. I know you love crap.
Right.
And frankly, maybe, you know, Rob, what was the little girl on the Partridge Family?
On the Partridge Family? Tracy.
Tracy, yes. Yeah. Perhaps someday you could be the Tracy Partridge of crap with Mike O'Mara.
I don't see, Dennis, I don't want to be really cruel, unduly cruel here, but at this particular time, I don't see any way for you working your way into crap.
There's no way I can get into crap, huh?
Not right now, Dennis.
You don't think Dennis is crap?
I think Dennis
crap material?
I don't think Dennis is crap. I don't.
Let me go play with my crap.
But just remember, I know now, as Don said before, I am crap.
Oh, I know you're crap.
And I'll be making those kind of decisions now.
All right, goodbye, Dennis.
Okay, have a pleasant evening.
We will. Goodbye.
Doug?
Yes, Dennis.
Good job.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Do you think Dennis could be a crap groupie?
No.
A copper maniac?
You know, to be honest with you, I don't want Dennis anywhere near...
Crap head?
I don't want Dennis anywhere near my crap.
Crap liquor? Crap eater? a crap... What do they call parrot heads? Crap heads?
That's right. The crap bunch.
The S heads. S-H-I heads.
Yeah, you could change the name.
Right. Right. There you could market... With the fake dog do from the novelty store?
I know you want that fake dog do. We need a more subtle approach.
Licensed. Mike would never license that.
No way.
What you do is you get like one of those rubber strings.
Right.
That goes around the guy's neck.
And maybe just sit on the top of the head?
Like a
hat.
Yeah.
Poo.
Yeah.
Just as Johnny Knoxville calls it, poo.
Just think about it.
I'll be covered in poo.
Because I know it's Mike O'Mara's crap.
I know that's what you think it is, and I appreciate that. I appreciate the vote of confidence. But for now... It's just plain crap.
All right.
Thank you.
You're so humble.
I try. You know, it's false humility, though.
And Rob pulled out the tape of the time that I was screaming at Dennis. I believe that this is one time when Buzz was going to have to take some time off, and Dennis, I think, wanted to do the news.
Mm-hmm. Good. Then I can answer Dennis. Dennis, in answer to your question, can you be in the group crap? This is my answer.
No!
Wow.
Never! No!
We preserved that.
A great moment in show history.
Fantastic.
Yeah. All right, listen, when we come back, the hypnotist is still working with Lisa and Wendell, and we're going to go right to our wacky story file.
Very good.
Oh, and Rob, pull out the Colonel Sanders tape.
You got it.
Might be a chance to hear that, too, because we got a Kentucky Fried Chicken story coming up.
Oh, yes.
We'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
The Don and Mike Show cordially invites you to a beautiful evening in Lake Tahoe, Nevada. Friday, February 23rd, it's the Don and Mike Lake Tahoe Reno Style Show. This gala show will include all the raunchy fun you've come to expect, including the underwear fashion show, of course. The show is at Harrah's of Lake Tahoe, and it starts at 8 p.m. It's first come, first served. So make your plans now. We invite your ass to come on down.
The Don and Mike Las Vegas Style Show.
I'm cutting a fucking spot, Tony.
Don't miss it.
Everybody loves Don and Mike.
Just like 4 solid hours of prostate manipulation.
Right.
The Don and Mike Show.
And Mike, I believe we have a...
I don't know how to do that.
A bit of ass-kissing coming our way.
We do?
I could be wrong.
All right.
But it says on the screen, the guy's name is David.
Yeah.
San Luis Obispo, California. Where our radio station is KCAL, 99 FM. The guy would like to talk about our monkey's gram spot.
Yes.
That we cut for the network.
Excellent.
Hello.
Hello, hey, Don and Mike.
Hi there, you're on the air.
How are you doing?
How are you doing?
Pretty good, pretty good. Okay, what the...
Well, now listen, I want to tell you something. It took Mike and I nearly an entire day to make it through the copy for Monkey Grams.
Well, what does he do? Is he fling crap, or is he,
no.
Is he real...
He's a lovely stuffed animal.
Oh, that is beautiful.
It is something that they are selling on the network.
I'm holding one right now, as a matter of fact.
Could you give us Listen, because the commercial was such a pain in the ass for us to do. Can you give us a review of the commercial?
Oh, sure. It says, hello, you can have your monkey gram sent to your house.
Oh, he's just an ass.
Right, okay, never mind.
I'm holding a white-handed gibbon.
Huh. I thought we were actually going to get some real feedback on our Monkey Gram Network commercials from Westwood One, which incidentally is the network that loves to rape.
Yes.
And pillage.
They love to rape. Mm. Here's the latest that they came to us about Westwood One today.
Right.
I mean, we've got all kinds of problems with them. The network owes us an ungodly amount of money.
Yeah, they've been holding back.
And Ken came today and said... came into the office and he said, well, the deal is that out of every dollar that comes in, the company gets this much, and you guys, Don and Mike, get this much.
Yeah, you split this much up, and we said,
No,
we have a contract that says we split this much up.
Uh-huh.
And then there was much, oh, really? I don't think that's right.
You know,
I don't want a good guy. Boy, I tell you, this is a bad day for me.
And he says he wants to go back and read the contract.
Uh-huh.
You know, like... Ken, you wrote the contract.
Yeah, it's all on paper, and it's easy to figure out. It's just a question of, you know, giving us what we were promised.
Yeah, well, listen, they've already...
And they do that well, don't they?
They've already got the money for commercials that they sold on our network show.
Yeah, absolutely.
And they're just not letting us have the money.
Exactly. You know, they don't mind making it. It's just they don't like doling it out when it has to be doled out because you have a contract that said that's what you get.
And he came in today with a lame song and dance. And listen, I just let you a behind-the-scenes thing, what's really going on. I had lunch with Alan, the de facto general manager, on Thursday.
Right.
And I told him all of the things that you and I were upset about.
Right.
How the company won't put us on in any major markets, on FM stations, about how Westwood One owes us an ungodly amount of money,
mm-hmm.
about how Ken has lied to us about getting us on radio stations. Ken has lied to us about we're going to come up with this different deal for syndicating, that different deal for syndicating.
Yeah, and meanwhile, things just kind of stay right where they are.
So I know that Alan had this conversation with Ken. So Ken comes in today and doesn't bother to say to me, hey, I had a conversation with Alan.
Right.
I think we should address some of the problems.
Yep.
Instead, he comes in and goes, how's everything going? I said, it's going the same. He said, sure would be great if the company would clear you in Los Angeles and Chicago. I said, yeah, that would be great. We'd be very happy. I said, yeah, I think I'm going to get to work on that. I said, okay, great. I said, what about all this money the company owes us? And that's when he came back in.
Said, no, you don't get this much, do you?
Yeah.
We said, yes, we do. Oh, that's not what I remember. Well, shocker.
Right.
Shocker, you remember it as less.
Right. God. Right. I told him, you forget, I'm married to the human calculator. You know, I called my honey immediately. And I said to Frida, who incidentally says to me every single month when we get our income statements from the network, mm-hmm. she says, how come the network show is making this much money,
right?
Yet you're only getting paid this much money?
I would say, really, and I'm going to have the person that does that, I'm going to have them get all the records of it, because we're going to have to do that.
Frida's got them all.
Yeah, you have to. That's the only way we're going to do
She's
it.
She's got them all.
Go back and match it up with what they say.
She's got them all.
You know, that's the best way to do it.
I'm telling you what. That's why I love that woman. She's good like that. She loves making me eat scorn flakes. But damn, when she gets on a topic, like about us being gypped out of money by the station.
Wow.
Hi, honey.
Well, hi, my boo-boo.
Hey, listen, sweetie.
Yeah?
You know, without getting into specifics,
yeah.
you have, on that Quicken thing, you have every month the amount of money that me and Mike have gotten for syndication, right?
Right.
Right. And it doesn't add up, does it? I mean, without giving specific numbers.
What do you mean it doesn't add up? It adds up to how much money you've gotten.
Yeah, right. What I'm saying, she would have to have the information of what they say that they've made, and it wouldn't add up in that regard. I know what you're saying.
I have that. I have that. If they say they get $10 in, and you get $250 of that, I have all that.
Okay, so...
Let me tell you something.
I just heard what she said, and she brings up an interesting point. All she knows is what they've told her.
Right, hold on.
And see, things that Ken had in front of you today are not the things that we receive, you see?
Yeah, let me tell you something off
Ken
the air.
Ken is saying he got $100 if the network got $100.
Let me take you off the air for a second and tell you an amount of money that Ken said to me and to Mike that our show has billed.
Yeah, that's terrific.
Year.
And well, Buzz, you and I will pad while he does.
You don't have to take me off the air because you've mentioned what, and it's ludicrous.
Hold on, let me make sure I tell you. Hold on.
Okay. Now. All right. Now Don is going to go tell Frida because we want to make sure that we're all on the same page with the numbers and such.
Right.
It's very frustrating, Buzz. It's all written down somewhere, though.
Yeah, supposedly. Okay. So she has the figure.
I mean, sure, her stuff is all there on paper.
Right.
So they sent.
Wait a minute. I'll pull it up on Quicken, and I'll tell you the percentage that...
Great. What is the percentage of money that the company has paid us, and what is the...
Out of what they have received.
And what is the percentage of money that they owe us?
Wait a minute.
That's a good question. I like that.
I mean, look, I'll memorize reports, because I have it all on a report. I can tell you every year. Now I've got the report right in front of me.
I tell you, she's the greatest with crap like this. Any of you guys out there like me, you're dumb with money and stuff, you got to marry yourself a girl like Frida.
So if you're saying for the year 2000, just in roughly, the number you just told me.
Right, and you can even lowball it a little bit.
Yeah, there's no, I mean, I'm just doing estimates on, I mean, I'm not that great in math right off the top of my head. But I'd say from what we've been told they've received is 10% of that.
10%.
Of that figure you told me that they said they received in the year 2000, what they reported to us. Is 10%. And of that 10%, you get 25%.
So we've
got... No. All right, I take that back, because I'm looking at your total. Wait a minute.
Honey, just tell me something. If...
Let me take that
they're
back.
They're not paying us the money that they should be paying us.
Okay, wait a minute. Well, I take that back. 50%. That's a lot better than the 10% I just told you. But 50 of that...
I don't follow this.
I don't know.
Wait a minute.
My brain's starting to hurt.
Start again. Okay, take me off the air and I'll tell you.
All right, hold on, please. Mike, hold on. Phil, for a second.
Okay, well, we're trying. The reason, for those of you who might not know what we're doing here, we feel like that we're getting held back stuff that we should have because the company has it. You see, when you go out and you collect money from advertisers and you receive the money and it's right. in and it comes in, it's paid, you should get a certain percentage of that. We seem to have a little problem with that. Being on the network is not significant, whether it's 10% or 50%. Whether, you know, if you got your paycheck and each month half of it wasn't there, you'd be a little concerned.
You'd notice.
And if 90% of it wasn't there, you'd be mad.
Uh-huh.
And I think it's somewhere in between.
I got the answer.
Okay.
Okay.
I got the answer. This company, this cheap company, has paid us one quarter... Mm-hmm. of the amount of money
that they owe us,
that they have contracted in writing to pay us for the syndication of our show.
Based on what's been collected.
Yes.
1 quarter.
Yeah, 1 quarter.
So if you got a paycheck every month and you had 1 quarter of it, you know, and 3 quarters of it weren't there, right, you'd be a little upset.
Well, see, that's the thing. I mean, that's the difference, is that it's like one of these movie companies when all the actors, when the hardball actors say they ask to look at the books. We don't look at the books. So,
yeah, but we get a
statement. I know what she's saying. We do get a statement, but that doesn't mean jack. And what Frieda is saying is what we probably should do anyway, is that we should have our folks, both of us, independently audit the books. And that's not like going in and doing a full-fledged audit. It's simply going in with somebody who knows what they're looking for to, you know, make sure that we're getting what we're supposed to be getting. I mean, we're relying on accountants that work for this company.
Right, they work for Infinity and
to even tell us. And so, and that would answer not only the question is, you know, where is the money that's been collected, but it would also make sure that the number they're saying it's been collected is a legitimate number. That's not something I want to do.
And when Ken told you that figure, the question is he saying that's what's been billed or
that's what's been collected?
Well, then, every month we get a figure that's been collected, what they say has been collected, and you get your proper percentage of what they have told us is the collected sum.
And we're getting screwed, right?
But what they're saying has been collected is way off from what Ken is saying has been collected.
You know, and now that I think of that, that's cause for alarm. And, you know, oh, God.
Thank you, honey.
You're welcome.
I love you.
I love you.
You're so good.
Thank you, Boo Boo.
You're so good with stuff like this. Goddamn, you are genius. You really are a genius.
Well, you know what? Mike, if you'd like
That would save me a step if you would do that. I'd love that.
Email it to Mike.
Yeah,
email it to me. That'd be fantastic.
All right,
I'd like
please
to take a look at that because we need to be. I think it's time to circle the wagons.
Yeah, you'll see like 5 or 6 years of it all in a nice little.
Oh, that would be fantastic.
I mean, she's got every month for the last, you know, and who knows how long this is.
You know what's great too is you send me that and I'll check that with Diane and we'll all be on the same page and then we'll proceed from there.
Gotcha. All right, good.
All right, honey.
Okay, bye.
Love you. And the bottom line on all of this is that Ken's a liar. Ken came into the office again today, knowing that I had the conversation with Alan on Thursday.
And didn't make mention of that, just said, well, out of the blue, he's checking these things out.
He's looking into it now, because he's doing us a favor.
And then kind of says, oh, I don't remember it as that.
Right.
Oh, God.
And then says, you know what? This company should be clearing you in Chicago and Los Angeles. Yeah. They should be.
We're worn down, folks.
Yeah.
We're worn down about this. I mean, and we're worn down because it's just been an awful lot to deal with. It really has.
And frankly, it's gotten past petty stuff. I mean, how would you feel if you worked for a company and they sent you a statement every month saying the amount of money that they made, mm-hmm, and you had to deal with them saying you were going to get a certain percentage of that money, and a year and 2 years went by and you never got the money?
Right.
How would you feel?
That's a real easy thing to do. That's an easy thing to take care of.
Yep, I'll have her email to it to you tonight.
And it's heavy. I mean, it's heavy stuff. They're not going to like it. So I hope that the prospect of that causes them to maybe go back and make this situation right. Because I think it's been done like so many things are done here that we let them get away with, kind of herky-jerky. And once we make noise that, you know, proper channels are going to be followed. And I think it's probably time that, you know, that gets cleaned up a little bit. You know, we wanted to be syndicated. We were anxious to get on all these radio stations.
Yeah, but we wanted to make some freaking money at it.
But at the time, we were like, you know, fine.
Yeah, but
that's
now,
fine.
But now we're making money.
Change. Right, exactly.
Now we're making money. Now we got ratings. We got good stations.
Mm-hmm.
And they're not giving us our money.
I know.
I mean, that sucks. It sucks on ice. And they know it. They freaking know it.
It's ridiculous.
Please.
I don't get it.
Me either.
I don't get it, but yet I do get it.
I'm sorry that I'm dragging the show down here, and I promise to get off this topic, just so you guys understand.
But there's a guy, I believe it's John Malkovich, who says it best.
What? What does he say?
Pierre Bertemien is money.
When we bitch and we complain, it's beyond ego stuff with, tell this disc jockey to stop doing this, tell this disc jockey to stop doing this.
And this just comes at a bad time, too.
Put us on this station like you promised us. I mean, you know, this is a contractual issue, man.
Yeah, it is.
It's a contractual freaking issue.
Everybody that here, the key to this, starting this, and so we get this done right, is for all of us to have the numbers and for three individuals, you, I'll include your wife with you, me and our guy in Chicago.
Right.
So we all know what's going on.
Correct.
Because that's who it affects directly.
Right. Okay. So that's why we're really pissed. I mean, that's one of the reasons we're pissed off.
Yeah, that's not...
At this company.
We're not talking about asking for something that we're not, you know, that we're, that they're going to do us a favor on. There's so many things here that we say, hey, will you help us out here? This is beyond that. This is something that is pure, you know, dot the I's, cross the T's stuff. It's what they owe us.
Yeah.
You know? Like, you would take a job, they'd say, this is what we're going to pay you, and you would expect to get paid. That's it.
Right.
And you expect to get paid promptly.
And F you.
That's all I will say. Just F you.
F you, Ken.
F you.
F you, Alan. F you, Jeremy. F you, Jim.
Jesus Christ.
Rats. They're rats. They're all rats, man.
We're just sitting here doing what we do. People ask me, do you like your job? I said, I love my job. Love coming in here and making radio in the afternoon. Everything else about it is the name of my band.
Right. Michael Maris Craft. All right, well... You know, and the other reason, and I promise I'll get off the soapbox, Rob, Tommy, 30 seconds.
Ready? Go!
The other reason we bring this to your attention is, if in fact in the coming days things get hairy,
mm-hmm.
you understand exactly where we're coming from.
Yeah, we'd like to tell you, because we'd like you to know when we get heavy.
It has nothing to do with this disc jockey said this, or this disc jockey said this, or
right.
put us on this time slot, or put us on that time slot, or play a promo. It comes down to... These pig effers are jipping us out of money that we've earned.
Right.
That contractually we've earned.
Time!
Thank you.
Very good.
Thank you.
Pay that man his money.
Simple.
Okay. Now, is the hypnotist ready?
How's he doing back there?
Would you go check?
He's been over half an hour.
Mm-hmm. Jesus, I got the chills. I got the douche chills.
Pick up that cold from your son.
Yes. I got the douche chills.
We didn't come back as a... necessarily healthy group from Tampa.
Coming back sick from Tampa was not a good time for Ken to come in the office today with his mealy mouth, half-assed, hat in hand.
Right.
Hey, I don't think that things are as bad as you guys think they are.
Mm-hmm.
I think the deal is this. And it's the wrong day for that entire direction. Today was the day that he should come in and say, listen, you know what? You got a complaint. Let's deal with a complaint.
Right.
If you think you've got some contractual issues, let's fix them.
He's not ready yet. He's still preparing. It looks like Wendell. I couldn't interrupt because I didn't want Wendell to like, go psycho and shoot everybody.
All right. Then we will break.
Hopefully by the end of the break, we'll have some hypnotized folks in here.
I hope so. But just think about that. Wouldn't you be pissed if you did a job and your boss told you if you do your job, you're going to make this amount of money?
You violated your own 30-second time limit.
I know it.
Pay that man his money.
Sorry. Be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
I received 99 years. The same day I went to trial, there was a man cut another man's nuts off during an aggravated robbery of a convenience store and got 40 years. I don't see how the system is actually working.
Well said. Two of Carmi's minions, Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
We'll see how long that lasts.
Really?
Hey, let's get Gary, the hypnotist, in here. Rob, would you please check and see what the deal is if he's
And interrupt him, Rob. Go ahead and interrupt him by now.
See if he's hypnotized either Lisa or Wendell by now.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't want to go in there.
If not, well, Rob should have taken one of his pills.
If he took one of his pills, he's like, Gary!
He's much more assertive when he takes Gary. His tranquilizers.
Gary, how are you?
Thursday night when we were driving to the airport.
Yeah, you can tell with him.
It was me and him and Bart, and I just looked at him and I said...
Once he takes his attacks.
You took your pill, didn't you? And Thursday night he said to me, I took one and a half. The doctor said just take one, but I took one and a half.
One and a half, whoop-dee-yip-dee.
And then he took two on Sunday morning.
Oh, Jesus.
Yeah, double check with him, but I'm pretty sure he told me he took two.
His attack.
Rob Downey Jr.
Rob, you got it there? Okay, here's the...
Rob, you took two on Sunday morning, right?
Yes.
Yep.
He needs 15 minutes, he said.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
15 minutes. That's what he said.
Wendell trouble again, I think.
15 All right. minutes? Well, then, we'll just move on with the show. And if he can hypnotize these people, he can come in and show us what he's done.
He appears to be making progress from what I saw, but he said he needs 15 minutes.
All right, well, then, you know what? We're going to do a phoner here, and then we're going to go to Buzz, and then if he's ready, he can come on in.
All right.
Now, here, from our wacky story file,
good.
Here's what we got for you. two people who think they have the Colonel's recipe from Shelbyville, Kentucky.
Mm-hmm.
There was a handwritten note that Tommy and Sherry discovered in their basement a year ago. Colonel Harlan Sanders' recipe for fried chicken. They bought their home, a white mansion on U.S. 60 West, from Colonel Sanders in the 1970s.
It's entirely different.
Among appointments and other notes, in boxes of documents, was a recipe for fried chicken that called for 11 herbs and spices.
Very good.
They are considering selling the recipe through an auction house.
Well, that might be, if it's 11 herbs and spices.
They contacted KFC to see whether the company would verify that the recipe was authentic. And in return, KFC filed a sealed lawsuit asking that the paper found by these people be stricken from the record.
Wow.
So they've got the real thing. That's pretty cool.
I wonder if they'll share it with us over the phone.
Like it matters.
It's entirely different.
Like, hasn't it been duplicated in...
Well, that guy that wrote the book and dedicated it to you, Buzz.
Right, yeah, and to you guys as well. Yeah, I think he has at least something very near and can, you know, make chicken that tastes like the Colonel's.
Yeah, I've made it. It's really simple. I think it's salt, pepper, paprika, and accent.
All right, well,
really?
Well,
yeah.
There are 11 herbs and spices, actually.
Well, they say there's 11, but don't be fooled.
All right,
the phone number is
all you use is accent in the guy's book?
That's all I use. It tasted great.
All right, the phone number's busy. We'll come back to him. We got another guy who says JFK's assassination was a giant hoax. He has evidence that John F. Kennedy survived the assassination.
Wow.
And has spent the last 37 years tanning himself on a Greek island.
Right. Hey, I always like these guys.
Mm-hmm. Love guys like this.
I guess those autopsy photos don't mean a thing.
Yeah, that one picture of his brain blowed up real good.
Yeah, I mean, there's a horrible picture of the one where you can just see, you know, it's the corpse, right?
Yeah. Back and to the left.
Yeah, exactly.
Back and to the left.
And will we ever really know?
No, never. Isn't there something saying that, like, at some time in the future, they're going to open a time capsule and they're going to announce the results?
Gary's coming in now. Hold on.
Well, thanks for calling. If you're calling to set up an interview about the JFK story, because of the overwhelming interest in it and because of the urgency of the story, my focus right now, I've been working on this.
I'll call that guy back later. Gary Conrad has come back in with Wendell and with Lisa.
Lisa is out.
Who appear to be hypnotized.
Get the bongo drums going, Gary. Bongo drums, get the humming going.
Well, we got one for two.
Okay, Wendell was not a taker.
Wendell can't follow instructions worth a dang.
Okay. Wendell, now, we tried this before with you, right?
Tried it before.
Try implies failure.
Okay.
Well, thank you for trying. Wendell, do you believe that Lisa's truly under? You've been in there? Have you seen her?
I got my voice.
Okay. All right, Wendell's going to ask the so-so sign. Let's see now. Gary Conrad, master hypnotist, has our very own Lisa.
Yeah, let me plug my gigs in Charleston, South Carolina.
We asked you that before. What gigs do you have?
I've got JW Breakers in Simpsonville, South Carolina on the 12th and the 13th coming right up. And Charleston, South Carolina, where they love you, I'm going to be in North Charleston, Desperados. March 1, 2, and 3.
Did I ask the guy as soon as he came in, do you have anything to plug?
Yeah, but he had
to
plug. He said, I don't know, I just thought I'd come by. But he wants to plug. We got the plugs in there. We'll get
the last time here, I was plugging my Green Bay, Wisconsin gig.
Right. You can plug whenever you come on here. We expect
doing Baton
you to
Rouge
plug.
And all.
You plug where? We're in Baton Rouge.
Baton Rouge, AAA play. But I don't know.
All right, Lisa's on it. Now let's keep the. You take that microphone and let's put this microphone down near Lisa here.
All right,
keep that one by Lisa's face.
All right, Lisa, listen. On three, your eyes are open. When you're open your eyes, you're just gonna start singing because you're Madonna and you're gonna just hit it right from the top, quick on that high note. 1, 2, 3, Madonna.
Like a virgin. Touched for the very first time, like a virgin.
Straddling
with that photographer.
With your heartbeat next to mine, gonna give you all my love, boy.
I can sing in Chinese. 1, 2, 3. Now back to English, Madonna.
Like a virgin. Touched for the very first time.
You gotta see her. She's into it.
Yeah. She
is. Like a virgin.
Looks like Madonna.
With your heartbeat. Next to mine.
Stanislee, child. All right, listen up. Whoa, you got good pasta
today. Oh, Gary. He does like it when Lisa is leaning against him.
He does. He likes that a lot.
Keep your eyes open. You're going to be your normal self, except for a couple things. Every time I snap my fingers, you're going to notice that Mike is the most attractive man you have
ever seen. Oh, no.
You just
sit
on his lap and remember.
No. Do it to Don.
Yeah. That's kind of a fantasy.
Yeah, change it, please.
All right, on three, you're just going to do that for Don. The more I snap my fingers, the more attractive he becomes, the better he smells, and you just want to get them earmuffs off him so you can blow in his ear. One, two, three. Eyes open. How you doing, Miss Lisa?
Hi.
Howdy.
Sounds pretty good, Nick.
Hi, Don.
Hi, howdy.
Glad you're back from Florida.
Thank you. Nice to be back.
She's coming over on the other side.
Here we go.
You're on the console.
All right.
You lucky devil.
Okay.
Yeah.
How do you smell? You smell them?
The new cologne you're wearing.
Oh, God. Oh, she is
picking up. It smells better when you're blowing his ear.
She's picking up my headphones. I am guessing she's blowing on the back of my head.
It smells three times better when you rub his belly. One, two, three.
I smell three times.
Don't rub my belly.
Jesus Christ.
It smells five times better when your hand's under his belly, right through his belly button. One, two, three.
Oh, that's okay.
All right.
You knock it off now.
Down to three. Don just tooted. It's horrible. One, two, three. Ooh, he just tooted. What's wrong, Lee? Come on.
Where are you going? Where are you going?
You know that citrus spray?
Yeah, here you go.
And now, is she really under?
I don't know.
How's that?
What do you guys eat?
She's spraying.
Gary, why don't you try that same thing with Rob? Try the same thing with Rob.
Whoa. Get the bongo. And the hummus,
I enjoyed it.
You should.
But I think there's a part of her subconscious that always wanted that.
I'm sure that believes it's true. Absolutely.
So why don't you try it with Rob A? Can you do the same thing with Rob A?
Well, you want to make a little...
How about they dance together?
Yeah, can you do that? Can you have them do a sensual
dance?
That
won't be good radio, but if you want to use your wordsmith...
Yes, we want to see it. Yes.
Dirty Dances with Rob.
Okay. Listen, on three, your eyes are open. You're a dirty dance teacher, and you're teaching
Rob
how to dirty dance quick on three. One, two, three. Eyes open. Listen.
Okay. Step one.
Okay. Hold on. Did you get her by the microphone there, Robbie?
Thank you. How about one hand here?
How about it?
One hand here is good.
Right.
I'm going to put my hand on your shoulder.
Okay.
And then one back here.
Okay.
And we just want to kind of put our knees, like intertwine our legs. We kind of just want to grind.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
I'm
actually having sex with Rob now.
Mike didn't want this.
Oh, my God.
One hand here.
Right?
One hand here is good.
Sure.
And just kind of move my hips in a circular motion.
Yeah,
knees bent.
Right.
And you can feel just the groove like that.
Right. I feel the
Have her sit down. I got another one for you.
All right, here we go.
Okay. On three, Rob tooted one, two, three. Oh, Rob.
Okay, put her back under, and I'm gonna ask a favor.
She sprays again.
Ask her if she could be Bobby Hollingsworth. That's a lady who works here at the station.
I think this kid can do just about whatever she wants.
Really? Fantastic.
Yeah, she's real good.
See what I heard her.
Listen, on three, your eyes are open. You're Bobby Hollingsworth. One, two, three. Do it, Bobby.
Hey, did you guys see my dog in here the other day? There's still a bowl of the dog food.
Really?
Yeah, it's one of the dishes in the kitchen. There's a water bowl and a dog bowl. And they're just there. The dog, he comes in, you know, maybe like once every other month.
Oh, I haven't seen him.
Well, when you guys were here for vacation, he was here the whole week.
Can you ask her to be Bobby in a bad mood?
Other than that,
bad mood, Bobby. Bad mood, nasty Bobby.
What?
Just pay us our money.
You want money?
Yes.
What have you done for me?
Okay. All right.
You know,
see that way.
Now you're Ken Stevens, and they just asked you about four specific questions, and you need to give those answers. One, two, three.
Hi, Ken.
Hi.
So do you have our answers?
Well, okay, look, here's the thing. All right. You know, you're talking about a radio program, and
in different places where there's different things going on.
What about putting us on in Los Angeles?
Well, okay, there again, you're getting to, you know, different places with different people.
Are you lying to us when you tell us this crap?
You know, no, look, here's the thing, okay? There are, you know, people in charge in one place. There's
okay, put her back under. I got another one for you.
In another place.
At this time, Jim McClure, but she has to do an impression of his voice.
The Jim McClure voice, right?
You're Jim McClure.
What's Jim McClure with? Jim McClure asking Rob out on a date.
You're weird, man.
Yeah, no, it's good, though. That's a good one.
Jim McClure asking Rob out on a date. 1, 2, 3. Eyes open. Hey, people, it's Jim McClure.
Hey, Rob. I was wondering, what you're doing later. Well, maybe you, if you wanted to go out and get a bite to eat.
Is he really that stiff, Jim McClure?
Yeah, yes.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Hi, Jim. Now you're Homo Joe asking him out for a date. 1, 2, 3. I love it.
Homo Joe here, Don and Mike.
Hi, Homo Joe.
Hey, listen, this is why I was talking to you guys. I was wondering, you know, if Rob, you know, had some time you wanted to take away from carrying the baby, if he maybe wanted to go down with some of my girlfriends.
Are you attracted to Rob?
You know, I always have been. And I'm thinking that there's a little part of him that might be attracted to me, too.
Would you have anal sex with Rob?
I've thought about it. I've dreamt about it. Definitely.
Okay, put her back on her. I got one more.
Oh, can I do one?
Sure, go.
Yeah, make her an opera singer. I want to hear her sing like an opera singer.
Okay.
All right. I mean, really, like, high-pitched
opera singer. Beverly Sills.
1, 2, 3.
Eyes open, sing.
La, 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 la.
Okay, put it back on there.
Now you're Tom Gavin thinking he's an opera singer. 1, 2, 3. Tom Gavin.
Hey, guys.
Okay, put it back on there. Put it back on there. Okay, now have her be a monkey. Have her jump around and be a monkey.
No, come on, please.
Please have her be
a
monkey.
Free, you think you're trying out to be a monkey.
You don't like monkey, huh? You draw the line at monkey.
Oh, God, you're going to spank a monkey.
No spank. No. See if she can act like a monkey.
Free, you're a monkey. You wonder if I don't know.
She's doing it. She's climbing up on the console.
This is why.
She's picking.
This is why you didn't want to do monkey.
Wow. Okay. She's climbing all over.
Wow.
Okay, put her back in. I got one more. One more. This is a guy who works at the station.
Go ahead.
Ask her to be JP Flame.
JP Flame?
Yes. Yeah, she knows him. It'll only be funny to us.
Three, your eyes are open. You're J.P. Flame at his best. 1, 2, 3.
J.P. Flame at his best.
Guys, hold on. You know, such a show the other day. I mean, it was silly. Bazilli, this thing they went on. Taking an outline of the show. Yeah, got a lot of holes open here. Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, Super Bowl was silly. I mean, lots of sillies everywhere. I mean, just bizarre. A show. Well, my little one, my little kid. Yeah, she's silly.
Have you gained weight?
Round 1, 2, 3. Gained round.
Go get in, hot dog. Hey, ow, ow. Oh, man, what? Yeah. Ow. Hey, up. Hit jaw.
What do you think of the Super Bowl, James?
Hey, your head get down. Ooh, ow, ow.
How do you feel, James?
Oh, I feel hard, I feel good. Feel good, feel good. Ow. Hey, Brown.
Okay, you can put her back under again.
Hey, Brown.
Put her back under again.
Now, let me ask you something.
Now, you're observing now. In between, when you see that look that looks kind of like the tired, that's always the same. That's the way you
look. Look at her. She's asleep now. He's taking her arm and he's just running like it's rubber.
It's always the same. That kind of that dead-eyed look.
Yeah, there is something about the eyes. I'll grant you that. Yeah, but it's funny because I remember a lot of this,
but
too.
But listen, she is an outgoing person.
Yes, yes,
but
she is.
The stuff that Gary's had her do here
right.
is even outgoing and outrageous for Lisa.
Absolutely right.
Listen,
absolutely.
Lisa, on Through Your Eyes Open, you're a Valley girl, and you don't like the way any of us are dressed when you think, eyes open, Valley girl. And
oh, my God. Did you look in the mirror this morning, honey? Her shoes.
What's wrong? What's...
Her shoes don't match your dress.
My
God. This jacket and those shoes material all wrong. Oh.
Well, what about the way Mike's?
Hi.
Fashion police didn't call you today.
No, they didn't.
I can tell you that that color doesn't go with that.
I put it back on. I got one more for you.
Sorry.
This is one that she loved to do.
Oh, my gosh.
One more she'll love. Have her be China, her favorite WWF star.
On Three, your eyes are open.
That's the one she loves?
Yeah. Tell us about your bout, China. When do the eyes open, China?
Feeling her boobs.
Wouldn't you if you were?
Probably the scariest thing that has ever happened to me in the ring was when I had, was doing a clothesline and one of my implants broke. I mean, it was embarrassing. There I was in the ring in front of millions of viewers in a packed arena, and everybody's looking at me, and I have a busted implant. So embarrassing. But, you know, I had to deal with these things growing up, a lot of abuse, and my way to deal with it was to go and work out. I mean, I'm 5'10", you know.
Okay, put her under. I hate China. Right.
I am the only woman.
Good.
Okay.
Yeah,
no problem, yeah. I knew
that I would.
And now she's back under again.
She's under again.
You know, either she's the greatest goddamn actress.
No, I don't think Buzz and Lisa could both do that. I think they're both under. I really do. Mm. Absolutely.
Could you ask her to be Larry Michael?
Larry Michael?
One last one.
Absolutely.
The absolute last one. Absolute.
On Three, your eyes are open. You're Larry Michael. And Don and Mike are sitting here in women's underwears, but you're Larry Michael. One, two, three. Eyes open. Larry Michael.
Hi, guys. I'm Larry Michael. Mike.
Yeah.
Did you think when you left today, like I do, that you might want to put some clothes? Maybe you should go to Britches. They make me the best dressed man in radio. Britches of Georgetown. I do.
All right, put it back under. Put it back
John,
under.
Yeah. Working with you. Oh, you didn't go to Britches. I do.
Okay.
You should have got dressed this morning.
I put her back under. All right. You've done all of our favorites.
Man, that's a round of applause. That's Gary Conrad. We believe this is legit.
Now, can you wake her up and can we ask her questions if she remembers?
I haven't gotten to that chapter yet.
Because she is just sprawled out in the chair in front of us right now.
Can you bring her back while we're here? I mean, can that be done or what?
Yeah, sure. We'll do it off air. If you do some commercials, I'll do it while you're here. But
you can take her back in the other room. You can take her back in the other room. And as a matter of fact, have your way with her if you like. and then bring her back after the commercials.
Yeah, we'd like to talk to her after the commercials.
Yeah, but get her out of here.
Somebody keep an eye on Gary, too, while Lisa's
if you can wake her up and have her walk out.
All right, on Three, your eyes are open. You're going to walk out, but one, your right leg is stiff as it can be. One, two, three. Eyes open. And we're just going this way. We're just going this way.
Her right leg is stiff. You know, but that girl likes to put on a show. But again, that girl.
I believe she was under. I would say, like, Charlie, what do you think? I always.
What about that James Brown stuff?
I think she was out.
I think she was under. I really. It was in between. She had this similar every single time. You can't fake that. And she's too much of a show off that when we would be laughing out loud like that, if she was faking it, she'd be cracking a smile.
I could tell when they were walking down the hallway past the screening room there. Wendell looked in and kind of winked.
Right. As soon as I saw Wendell's eyebrows go up, I'm tired and sorry, but I'm not under.
And Lisa didn't look in at all.
And when they were walking out, you know, she wasn't bending her right leg at all. He says, "You all right?" She said, "Oh, yeah." I mean, she had no idea she's walking out with her leg, right. Not even bending it.
You should have seen her do the Madonna thing.
Yeah. Right.
Really?
Oh, yeah. She jumped up on the console. And
absolutely. I think it was legit. What do you think, Buzz?
China,
she did take on Madonna's look there for a moment. I can't wait to talk to her once she's out of the trance to see if she feels the same way afterward. Because one of the things that that struck me is I remember every little detail of that entire episode, of that entire hypnosis episode on the last show.
All right, well, we'll bring her in after the next stop to the air and the element. And I'm sure he's in the other room with her right now going, okay, now, Lisa, take off your pants. Take off your pants.
I'm Gary. I'm still sore.
Buzz?
Yes.
It's time for the news of the comment here.
In a world where owning a radio was strictly forbidden,
that's a good
one
show.
Man found a way to bring good news to his people.
Buzz. Mm-hmm.
He made it up.
Buzz drank cranberry juice after his little segment.
Buzz, what is your lead story tonight?
Tonight, a day in court for a guy named Puffy.
Gotcha.
Stay tuned. For news and comments.
News and comments.
Coming up on the Don and Mike Show.
Don and Mike Show. That was very
professional.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Have you started thinking about Valentine's Day yet?
Having a hard time coming up with something that's different, something not outrageously expensive, something fun and easy, something really special for that special someone?
Well, the answer is a worldwide monkeygram.
1-800-858-5101.
A monkeygram is a cuddly, huggable, super plush monkey that arrives in its own special box. It comes with the finest truffles from Green Mountain Chocolates and a handwritten personal message of love.
Imagine your loved one's face when the box arrives at the office or home, and out comes this adorable gift of love with truffles and a message like, whenever I'm not around, hug this monkey and think of me.
It's so easy to send a monkeygram for Valentine's Day or any special occasion.
Call 1-800-858-5101 and one of our monkey business professionals will help you make this a gift that truly represents just how you feel.
Monkeygrams start at $39.95 and will keep giving love long after Valentine's Day.
Call now, 1-800-858-5101.
That's 1-800-858-5101.
Call now.
The word between a crackpot.
Ladies, step into their studio and talk to St. Peter, the Don and Mike Show.
Time for news and comment here with Buzz, sponsored by eGars.com. eGars.com is a great gift for Valentine's Day, including cigar samplers from Macanudo, Articus, and Punch. That's www.egars.com. Bringing us the news and comments. And just ahead of Buzz, Gary Conrad. Gary,
whoa.
Where are you going to be? Where do you want to hike?
I'm going to be right outside of Grand Forks, North Dakota. Fargo, they hear you?
Yes, Fargo.
Believe it or not, the Westward Ho. Can you believe that?
Westward H-O.
That is the name of the place, the Westward Ho?
Yep.
That sounds like a fascinating joint.
Classic place. And where else do you want to plug?
Oh, we're going to plug Desperados in North Charleston, South Carolina, JW Breakers in Simpsonville, South Carolina, and goodness gracious, where the heck else they got me? A lot of your places where you're heard, they've got me performing. So
are you getting your little itinerary out there?
Yeah, I'm trying to find out where.
Well, while you're getting your plug sheet out, let's
not very organized for a
hypocrite.
Let's talk to Lisa for a second.
Hi.
Lisa, do you remember what happened to you?
I can remember.
What do you remember?
I can remember singing.
What did you sing? Do you remember?
Singing and dancing and stuff. I can remember kind of being aware of what was going on, but not really. It could hear. I was just very relaxed, just kind of going.
You still feel a little weird right now? Do you still feel a little?
My hands are shaking.
They are.
Wow,
it's a beautiful sight.
But
he came over.
You're looking at your hands.
He came over and felt me up.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know. It's a shocking thought. Not exactly the response I was looking for.
She's rubbing her face.
I know, so she came over and felt me up and she's just...
She's the look of horror.
You're going to die.
Hi, Mom.
And you and you dirty danced with Rob.
that was real. I thought that was a dream.
And you were...
there he is. She's back.
You were up on the console singing like Madonna. And when you were in China, you were playing with your boobs.
We were talking about my boobs?
You were.
You were talking about China. Talking about her implant.
When I talk about my breasts, I touch them.
You were just touching them right there. All right, so do you believe...
That's okay.
Listen, for the record, were you faking it or not?
No.
No, okay.
Felt this way before as far
no.
as...
No.
Wow.
Beautiful. Gary Conrad.
Way to go, Gary.
Master hypnotist.
Good job.
We love it.
Check him out at Westward Ho.
I love the name.
You're out in Fire Gold.
Really do.
All right, get out of here, Gary.
Thank you, Gary.
Bye.
See you later.
Give the plug to Lisa. We'll keep plugging your gig.
We will plug you, absolutely.
He's so much better than those other jive ass hypnotists.
Oh, Gary's a lot of fun. We love having him on the show.
Great entertainer.
The difference is the other hypnotists, they come in and they think that they're Harry Blackstone.
Oh, yeah. Hello, I'm Blackstone. Yes, sirree. I'll be putting you under now. Just stiff as a board. Yeah. We used to have tape of that one guy.
Tom Silver.
Tom Silver.
Right. That's the guy's name.
Absolutely.
So, Buzz, did you believe that?
You know, it's funny. She says she doesn't remember much of her experience in her time under. And like I said a minute ago, I remember every detail of mine. So maybe she was hypnotized. I still contend I wasn't. Now, can the guy make you relax? Can he loosen up your inhibitions a little bit? Yeah. But, you know, it's a show. And when you work with him, you get into the spirit of that, and you participate in the
show.
Well,
I mean, that might be your perspective,
but it sounds like maybe Lisa had a different experience.
I mean, she's an outgoing girl, and I think she would do about anything we asked her to do on the show. But what she did today under hypnosis was like time and a half over.
And the one thing he did say, though, that even when you are under, you will never do anything you wouldn't do as far as... Going to, like, for example, if Gary brought her back there and said, sex.
When she came over and started rubbing my hair and stuff.
She would do that. She wouldn't do anything she didn't really want to do.
That's what we hear.
I think that's the way it's put. Does that make you feel better?
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
All right, very good.
Hi, Buzz.
Hi, Don and Mike. The opening arguments have been made and the first witnesses called in the gun and bribery trial of rapper Sean Puffy Combs.
Yeah.
The trial began today with a surprise accusation.
Yeah.
Combs is not accused of shooting anyone the night three people were wounded in a New York club.
Hey, that's another thing Rob was doing at the Super Bowl all weekend.
Right.
Especially when he was drunk.
Uh-huh.
He was doing his gangster poses.
Nobody does it better.
Rob, there it is.
Let me see, Rob.
There it is.
Give me one of these. Prosecutors today said they have a witness who saw Puffy fire a gun inside the club.
What?
Puffy's lawyer opened it by saying that the trial is about celebrity, not about justice.
Stay cool. Stay cool.
There's his lawyer.
Puffy's lawyer now.
Where have I heard that before?
The Ravens came home to roost this afternoon after winning Baltimore's first Super Bowl championship in 30 years. Excited fans were asked to stay away from the airport and away from the Ravens complex in Owings Mills, Maryland.
I bet they didn't.
They didn't, and many of them were actually not only allowed to touch, but to even hold the Vince Lombardi trophy.
Look at that. Oh, I got mustard on it.
There'll be a victory parade in Charm City tomorrow morning at 11.
You stupid mooch, you got mustard on it.
And Lisa will be there.
Hey, look, now the Vince Lombardi trophy is going to have syphilis. Because I rubbed my open sore on it.
Better take that old Super Bowl trophy down to the clinic.
Where's Scott Darso?
Come on. Hey, Morty Bass. Morty Bass, look, I got my syphilitic hands all over the trophy. The trophy's got syphilis now.
Hundreds of thousands of people are expected to line the parade route tomorrow, and the mayor, of course, will hand the team the key to the city.
Hello there, team. Here's the key to the city.
You all must be very proud, and I've got several buckets of English's fried chicken.
We're sending Lisa tomorrow with a tape recorder.
Right.
You will hear... everything that happens.
Kind of exciting right now. We've got the 26th annual Frog Hop. Virginia Baker.
This tape has nothing to do with the Ravens.
No. But it's the greatest Baltimore accent that has ever been recorded.
Yeah. The late Virginia Baker.
The organizer of all this, Miss Baker, why did you decide to go ahead and do this? What's the point of this?
Oh, let's see. Mayor McKeldin, he was our mayor. Can you have a booklet with our history?
We've got all that. But why did you decide to do a Frog Hop?
Well, he sent me an application when he was mayor, and I thought, we're in a world, and I said, we're in something, I'm going to get a frog. So nobody had a frog. I'm a city girl. The mayor at that time was a city fellow.
Okay.
So I started you all with publishing.
We have to run right now, but thank you, and it looks like a really good idea. In fact, we've got some frogs on the loose. It's going to be going on for a couple more minutes, and look out.
You want to control room. It's like, get her off.
I heard a news report on a radio station today, WTOP, that is all the TV inane crap was dusted by this thing. They had, and now we've got our reporter, such and such, Joe Mook, who was at the Simpson family's house, and, well, they had, let's see what was on their menu. And they go to the reporter and say, it was a big day for the Super Bowl as they had spicy chicken wings, Coca-Cola, and lots of fun. I'm
reporting.
That counts as a report on CLT.
I couldn't. Yeah, absolutely.
Fine journalism. The ratings were down just a bit, but a Super Bowl is a Super Bowl. CBS estimates that 130 million people watched the game last night. That would give the show a 40.3 rating. Survivor premiered right after the game with an audience of about 42 million people. CBS says the ratings for that show would have been higher if the second half of the game had been more competitive. They say the show would have also had more viewers if it had started earlier than the 10:17 p.m. start time here in the eastern U.S. The audience was, in fact, bigger on the West Coast, where Survivor started 3 hours earlier.
Like I say, you just cut off the stupid game at 9:30.
Yeah.
And you say, Baltimore's going to win. Now we're going to play Survivor. We'll come back at 10:30. We'll play the same for the rest of the game.
Now, then, well, I think they'd run you right out of town.
Buzz, hold on a second.
Okay.
We got a break. We'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
What's that?